Well, I can tell by the way some of you are looking at me, I'm going to have to go to the Word. Don't sit down. I'm not done with you yet. Hallelujah. Well, you know, brother, we just never know. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this phrase. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Now, this is a spot here where you really need to watch what you're reading. Because it takes a lot of guts to believe this. You think you can handle it? I think you can. Or the Lord wouldn't have brought it up. Of whom... Now wait a minute. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom? Of whom? Is that referring to Jesus or the Father? That's referring to the Father. Amen? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Well, I thought we was named after Jesus. Well, quit thinking so much and start reading the Bible. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You have His name. He and I both were named after the Father. You and Jesus both were named after the Father. He has given Him His name, which is above every name that is named. So at the... And now, we're talking about the name above every name that is named. Amen? All right, now stay with me. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So now we stop right now, and I receive that, Father. I receive your grant. According to the riches of your glory, I receive being strengthened with might by your Spirit in my inner man. That Christ, the anointing, then the anointed one and His anointing, may dwell in my heart by faith. That I... being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, have working intimate knowledge with all the saints. This is for anybody to believe for. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Did that leave anything out? No. Didn't leave out anything. That you may comprehend, not just understand, but comprehend. That means working knowledge. Most of you understand how to buy a ticket and ride on an airline. I can fly it. I don't need help to go somewhere. If you go in an airplane, most of you are going to have help. I can go get an airplane, go without any help. Why? I have working knowledge of it. I've been trained in it. I have working knowledge of it. You have knowledge of it. You understand it. You understand that they fly. But there's a difference between sitting in the back and sitting in the front. And He's talking to you here about sitting up front. Comprehension. Working knowledge of the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know. The word know right now, right there is the same word in the Greek text, it's the same word as a man knowing his wife. It is the Greek word for intercourse. That you might have intimate relation with the love of the Anointed One and His anointing. Now, who is that? Who is love? God is love. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. Folks, that just said that you will understand, have working intimate knowledge of the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God and His Son. Well, you know, we'll just probably never ever understand God. Well, you can go talk that way somewhere else. Don't talk that way around me. Why, Brother Copeland, just mere human beings can't understand God. We're not mere human beings. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. You mean we can understand God? You can if God's the teacher. Forgive me if I get exasperated at you, but I'm tired of this. I've been preaching this for 42 years. I'm tired of people still writing songs about it. We'll never know. We'll never have it. Yes, bless God, I've got a lot of it now. I don't have near as much as I'm going to have. I'm going to spend eternity finding out about it.
How about this?
He died for me. He paid the cost. He bore my sins up on the cross.
That'll work.
All
right. Yeah, that'll work. But this scripture here is the reason we have to be careful about our songs. Because we believe this word and then singers sing our way out of it. And you'd be shocked at how big an effect music has on your spirit. It's powerful. It's powerful. You can change things in your spirit and not ever know you did it. By just singing some unbelieving lyric, you know, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Well, we're just, you know, beggars or something. No. Now, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to have intimate relation with the love of Christ, which is God the Father and His Son, which passes knowledge. But now here's the reason for it. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You'll never under God's blue sky. You'll never under His heaven ever believe you could ever be filled with the fullness of God if you hang on to the idea that you're too dumb to understand Him. You're born of His Word. You're born of His Spirit. You're one spirit with Him. You're bone of His bone. You're flesh of His flesh. You are bound to Him and He is bound to you. His Spirit is your teacher forever. Hallelujah. Now come on up here to His way of thinking. Hallelujah. Whoa! Glory to God. Woo, man, alive. I'd go home right now and say, I done been to church. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a shout and a praise for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, how exciting. It's wonderful. Turn and shake hands with somebody and tell them you love them in the Lord. You're glad they're here today. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Whoa.
Boy, you got my... Got me pumping already this morning. Praise God. Amen. Couple of things I want to share with you this morning, and we get into today's Bible lesson. One is to help you with your perspective. Thank you, Lord. Now, what I'm about to share with you is just simply an illustration. Tell you, like I said, to help you with your perspective. Man that had just served God and been a strong witness, came from abject poverty into wealth and riches just absolutely through the blessing of the Lord. And it was time for him to check out of here and go on to heaven. And he went to the Lord about it. He said, you know, now, I know you're not supposed to take anything out of here when you go, but I want to make a request of you. He said, I've lived my life on the principle of being as strong a testimony to the power and integrity of your word that I possibly can. And he said, I'd like to be that kind of testimony when I get to heaven. May I have a special dispensation to take something from here to witness to? And the Lord granted him permission. Well, he gets ready to come into heaven, and they stopped him because he had a bag in his hand. You can't bring it. Yeah, I said, I can. I got special dispensation for this. So they checked it out, and sure enough, he did. Man, they said, oh, we had never seen this all these years. This is the first. My goodness sakes alive. Now, God had supernaturally given him a gold mine. He blessed people around the world with just super wealth out of that, and it just seemed like the thing would just never quit producing. And he knew it was supernatural from the very start. So out of his gold mine, he had some special minted bars so that he could be a testimony to this blessing of the Lord when he got to heaven. And they said, what? You got a special dispensation to bring stuff from the earth here? He said, you called them, didn't you?
Yeah.
What'd they say? They said, yes. He said, well, get out of my way. He said, well, hey, that's fine. Could we just see what you brought? He said, sure. And he opened his bag. And they said, you got a special dispensation? He said, yeah. He said, you could have brought anything you want? He said, yeah. And you brought pavement? Now, I know that's a silly little joke, but at the same time, it does have perspective. What we call precious, they pave streets with it. What we call precious jewels, they build fences out of it. Oh, the pearly gates. No, not a pearly gate, it's the pearl gate. You look at it, things at least 200 feet tall. A gate 200 feet high, at least. It could be higher than that. But the wall is 200 feet high, where the gate is. Made out of one pearl. And somebody jumped up in one meeting, I said that, and they said, think of the size of that oyster. No, the beautiful part of this is God didn't need the oyster.
Amen.
The oyster needed God.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. When we begin to get perspective of who we are and what we are and what is available to us, it begins to... this is the reason I got so thrilled out of what Brother Keith was talking about yesterday. It stops looking so hard. There's nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
It looks hard because it's too hard for us. But then we're not responsible for doing it. All we're responsible for is believing it. But it don't make sense. Wasn't supposed to. Makes faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the other thing was that I wanted to bring up the Lord. The Lord started talking to me this morning about this, about, oh, I don't know, it's around 5 o'clock. And, you know, people have problems. Do you remember when you first time you ever drove a car? Did it seem like to you there was something drawing you to the ditch all the time? Trying to stay out of the ditch, and you just missed it on this side and run slam into the ditch on the other side. Dear Lord, before you could get it back. Oh, I remember I was having such a hard time making an airplane be still. I mean, I'm fighting this thing, and it's all over the sky. And my instructor said, "Kenneth, take your hands off of the control." I said, "What?" He said, "Put your feet flat on the floor. Take them off the rudders and take your hands off of the wheel." He said, "Put your hand in your lap." I put my hands in my lap. That little old airplane just settled down. He said, "The airplane knows more about flying than you do, boy." He said, "Now just relax. The airplane will fly. You just manage it." So now one of the things that we've had trouble with, where the Word of God's concerned, is get out of the ditch on one side and run right square, slap in the ditch on the other. Oh, Brother Copeland, thank God. Brother Moore said we don't have to go to meetings no more. All we have to do is listen to a tape one time and we got it. Get out of that ditch. My goodness. I asked the Lord this morning, I said, "Lord, what's the best way to say that?" He said, "Well, all natural physical law is born out of the Spirit, and the physical laws mirror spiritual law." Said spiritual law has authority over natural law and supersedes it. But he said you can use it like I did when I was on the earth. Thus, I used natural things to explain spiritual concept. He said, can you eat a meal and go work out and go work out again and stay strong? Now you got to go eat again. Then you go work out. He said, you can't get stronger by eating. All you can do by eating is maintain what you have. And he said, if you don't exercise, you start losing it. Now that's what Brother Keith's talking to us about yesterday. Because we got in the ditch over here thinking all we have to do is eat. If all you do is eat, you just get fat.
That's right.
Why? Because you built up a lot of excess, but you ain't using anything. You can use up all the faith in your spirit. Or you can fatten on it and not use any of it. You don't, you'll lose it. So the balance in there is to eat and act. Eat and act. Eat and act. Now, I got in the ditch by not receiving the Word, feeding on the Word for my own health, my own growth, and my own strength. I was feeding on the Word in order to strengthen you. And I spent nearly all my time feeding on it and acting on it, feeding on it and preaching it, feeding on it and preaching it, feeding on it and preaching it. And I began to break down physically. And I thought, "Well, Lord, what's wrong with this?" He said, "Well, the reason you're so strong to preach is because that's what you believe for all time." He said, "I give you a revelation, you jump and grab it, and start outlining it and getting ready to preach it. And then he said, that's good. That's what I gave it to you for. But he said, I intended for you to feed off of it also. And this whole idea, well, now, you Brother Coleman, you just keep on giving her out and God will take care of you. No, he won't. If I don't use the word against me, I can give it all to you and just dump myself in the ditch. And I had to pull aside, balance it out, and catch up. That's the reason that, you remember Gloria telling you that we would just expend everything we had, then we'd go to Brother Hagin's meeting. And come dragging in there. Why? We hadn't had anything to eat in days. We kept pouring it out. You have to feed your spirit the same way you have to feed your body. And you have to feed your mind. And the food you eat has to be exactly like what it's feeding. The food that you eat spiritually has to be exactly like your spirit, or it won't feed it. Genetically altered. The food you eat with your body has to be exactly like your body. If it's genetically altered, your body don't know what it is. It don't know it's food. It won't eat it. It'll just get rid of it, cast it off. Mentally, you have to eat mental food that is exactly like your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. And if all you have is world education, you're not educated. You've got a bunch of stored up stuff, but most of it, you just studied it to pass the test, to get the degree, and after you got the degree, then you had to go hunt a job. And you got on the job and went to work for some fella, had eighth grade education. Now, there's something wrong with that. What is wrong with it? Until you get the Word of God, you don't have any wisdom about you. And wisdom is the ability to know what to do with knowledge. Well, I didn't plan to give you all that this morning, but I'm glad I did because I'm glad I heard it myself. So the thing you need to do is keep it right in the middle of the road. You got to feed. You got to go into action. You have to use it, feed it, use it, feed it. And you haven't used hardly any of it yet. If all you're using your faith for is to get yourself healed, yourself fixed, your bills paid, no, until you get out and start winning souls and get into action on that end of it, you really hadn't used much yet. But you get out there and begin to develop in that. Most of you don't do it because you're afraid to. It's not because you hadn't got time. It's because you're afraid to go do it. You're afraid somebody would turn you down. There won't be near as many of them turn you down as you think there will. Amen. Go on out there. Oh, Brother Copeland. It's called trust God. Amen. If you can't get it anywhere else, read the back of a dollar bill and go get it done. In God we trust. Amen. It's time to get that back too, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, did you bring your Bible with you today?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before your word today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We put ourselves in the hands of the Holy Spirit to be taught and trained in Jesus' name, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man, to feed our spirit on your word, to receive direction about what to do and how to put it into action. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there is another part to that before we get on in here that the Lord reminded me while we were praying. There is also spiritual exercise. There's training for your flesh to discern both good and evil. Fifth chapter of Hebrews. But there's also spiritual exercise. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You haven't prayed in the Holy Ghost until you believe you receive when you pray. Well, how am I going to believe I receive when I pray when I don't know what I prayed? You have to trust God. Just like you did when you received the Holy Ghost. Amen. But don't pray without believing you received. The Scripture says when you pray in the Spirit is an act of your will. I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. And I will pray with my understanding. I will. I will. I will. I will. Now, it also says, when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is unfruitful. But pray that you may interpret. What is that? So your mind, your mind not supposed to stay unfruitful. You're not supposed to stay a dummy. You know, forgive me, but I knew if I said dummy, some of you'd wake up. Oh, why, sure. Well, I'm not going to become an interpreter. I don't know. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. That's between you and Jesus and His calling on your life. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I pray in obedience to the Word. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but this is where we're going this morning. I pray in obedience to the Word. I obey the Word of God that says, pray also that you may interpret. So, I pray that. Thank you very much. I believe I receive it. You can believe you receive it before you understand it. You'll get the understanding if you believe you receive it. But you're acting in obedience to the Word. You don't have to analyze it and all of that to be able to use it. There are times you need to be able to use the Word of God when you ain't got time to figure it out. Can you imagine a guy that the bad guys are chasing you? I mean, they are after you. There's bullets whizzing by your head. And some guy waves and said, over here, over here. And there is a guy in an armored truck. And then you're running over there. And he says, drive. And you jump in there and you say, and you hit the key. And it says, boy, that thing is ready to go. You say, I don't think I can drive this. I really don't have in-depth understanding about how this engine works. Could you be, get out of here. The bad guys are on your tail. What's the matter with you? Get. You ain't got time to get a lesson on automotive engineering. Get this thing out of here. Slam it in gear and get on down the road. We'll talk about how the engine works later. But you don't have to have that to get on with the program here. Amen. Being so analytical. Two things that get you really into trouble. Being analytical and trying to correct everybody else. Amen. So, obey it. I'm going to teach you how it works. He'll give you the wisdom of it. He'll give you the knowledge of it. But you don't have to wait till then to receive the blessing of it. Come on. Just take him at his word and go on. Get in action. Now, building yourself up, praying on your most holy faith in the Holy Ghost. Believe you receive when you pray. Receive what? Whatever it was that you were praying about. I don't know what I was praying about. Well, is that going to keep you from believing you receive it?
No.
I can tell you this. It was the perfect will of God for you because it come out of you. The Lord started Creflo and I doing this a number of years ago. We right about the same time. And he and I started preaching one another on it. And it wasn't a year until, man, I'm telling you, revelation started flowing. I had never seen it like that up until then in my life. And he called me some months later. He said, and the same thing was happening to him. And we hadn't made the connection yet. But, it must have been probably 2 years later. I was praying one morning, praying in the Spirit. And praying also that I interpret. And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, all this revelation you've been receiving over the last couple of years or so, he said, that revelation is what you believed you received. He said, you prayed that out in the Spirit a couple of years ago. And he said, a little bit, by little bit, by little bit, now the revelation of it's been coming. And I didn't make the connection. Interpretation can come as a direct interpretation. I just come right out of your mouth. In a language you understand. Or as an inner witness. As a conviction. Suddenly you just know, man alive, this is something I got to do. Now. Or, oh Lord, is that what's been bottlenecking our finances? Yeah. You might not have made the connection, but that could very well have been the interpretation of what you were praying in the Holy Ghost a month ago. But you acted on the Word instead of trying to figure out the Word before you do anything about it.
Yeah.
You acted on it just because it said, do it. Praise God, do it. Amen. And my, things will start happening for you instead of to you all the time. Amen. Glory to God. Give the Lord praise. Now, let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter. I sat down to write my partner letter just before we came here to begin this Believer's Convention. And I pray about this all the time. And there's a lot of different things that have happened over the years, but in different ways that the Lord has helped me with it and shown me things. I would say, and I've never just actually put the figures to this, but I'll say it this way, at least 90%, probably more than that, but at least 90% of what I preach in these meetings starts praying over these partner letters. And I've had people say, and had people write in, does Brother Copeland write those partner letters himself? No, I have this computer that's baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I just go in there, punch right, and it just... Some of you'd come near believing it if I said that, I think. Not this group. I'm not saying them. I'm talking about... Your mother dodos. No, I committed to you that I write at least one letter to you every month, and the Lord demanded out of me years ago when this first came up. He said, you write the letter, and then you read it as if you were a partner, and you put your name up there at the top, and you read this, and then you stand there and you hold that letter up to me, and you be able to swear before me there's not anything in that letter that you said or thought about getting people to help you meet your needs financially. Well, the first dozen or two of them I wrote, I tore up more of them than because I didn't realize I was doing it.
Yeah.
And I sit down and I said, oh, man.
Yeah.
Throw it in the trash and pray till you get it out of you and then start over again. Now, I haven't had to do that so much in the last 20 years of it, but, oh, man, I tell you, I didn't realize that I had that much of that in my mind and so forth. It wasn't in my preaching, but it started coming out in those letters. And I just have to pray in the Spirit and get rid of it. Exercising your spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your self. In the Apostle Paul's writing, he used the word edify, or to charge, to rebuild and charge. See, that's an equal part of it. You have to do that as well as feed your spirit. You have to build it up. Then you have to act on the word for your faith to get online. I mean, all of it works together. And you really hadn't prayed in the Holy Ghost until you pray to a breakthrough point sometime or other. It'll take you to another level. This was back in the late 60s, and I drove from Lubbock to Tulsa in that old car, and which means I wasn't making, you know, record time going across there. But anyway, but I did work up enough faith to drive the speed limit. And I had the Lord tell me, he said, I can take care of you at 100 just the same as I can at 35. But he said, you get out over the speed limit, you're out of my hands. I said, why is that, Lord? He said, because when you got your driver's license, you signed an oath that you would obey the laws. And he said, my word says obey the law of the land. Boy, that is hard on me. I felt like I wasn't moving. You know, I'm used to doing Mach 2 with my hair on fire. You know, I drove everything wide open. Well, that wasn't a good example to my children either. And I finally figured out how my dad felt when John came along. And, dear Lord, he climbed trees with a motorcycle. I don't know. But anyway, and so I finally got to the point where I believed him enough for that old car. And I got after a few weeks after that, I drove it to Fort Worth and a brother over that church is a mechanic. He said, Brother Copeland, the Lord dealt with me about tuning up your car. I said, praise God. I said, I'll use my dad's car in the morning and to get to the meeting. And we're staying out there at Mother and Dad's. And I said, you go over at the house and get my car. Okay. So he came to me then 2 days later at the meeting. He said, Brother Kennel, did you drive that car in there? I said, yeah. He said, was it running? I said, it ran like a new watch, just running great. He says, impossible. I said, why? He said, Kenneth, I couldn't get it started. And he said, I had to tow it over to my garage. It wouldn't run. And he said, when I took the distributor apart to redo your points and stuff, he said, Brother Coleman, you ain't had any points. Well, you know, there's a stainless steel paddle in there with the points are fastened to those carbon points on those older cars, the pre-digital days. And he said, they weren't burnt down, they were gone. There was nothing there to make any spark. That car was just running. Somebody said, how'd they do that? Who knows? I don't care. I just enjoyed the ride. Praise God. But I had to obey the law in order to do it. Or he had to quit me in the road. So, I said all that to tell you this. As you exercise your faith, you exercise your spirit, you exercise your body, you take good care of what you feed your spirit, what you feed your mind, and what you feed your body, because they all got to work together. And it's not because that's what you lack the taste of. It's because this thing is an instrument to somebody else's salvation and escape from hell.
Amen.
Amen. That's what this is all about. So, I was doing this partner letter, and So then when I got, and I knew, man, this thing was just super powerful. In fact, every one of them is the best one I ever wrote, you know. But this one really is. Because they all minister to me. So the Lord said, I want you to do this, just like I showed you in the past, and like you did a few days ago and received so much for your physical body. So I said, okay. He said, I want you to take them through in action to believe the word and put the word into action the way I taught you to do it years ago. And he said, I want you just to be an example and just show them how you do it. I said, okay. So, the 11th chapter of Mark. Now, we've already built the base upon which this stands about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. So, you can't just be a doer of the word. You have to be a hearer, too. So, it's hearing and doing. It's not, faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and acting and acting and acting and acting, speaking, speaking, speaking. It's the way of life. All the time. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? Ooh, I had a good breakfast this morning. How many of you ate breakfast yesterday? Well, what'd you eat again this morning for? I thought you had breakfast. It wasn't good enough just to remember what you had, was it? Well, it's not good enough to just have the Bible in your memory either. You have to put your eyes on it, but you don't feed on it till you say it. Now, here's the clue to it. Jesus said, "Why take ye thought saying?" Then he said, "Take no thought saying." Don't let it get in your mouth. You do, now you're going to have to deal with the thing because it's taking root when you start saying it. And it's easier to sing than it is to say. Now you can use that both in your favor and you can use it against yourself, as we talked about earlier today. You sing unbelief, man, I'm telling you, it'll take root in you and you don't even know it's there. And the reason why is because you'll sing things you don't hear. You can be sitting there doing something where your mind is totally occupied on something else and your foot just is going to the music that's coming through the system. You don't even know. And somebody just pumping you full of unbelief. Poor old us. Trudging through the heat and the cold. Sick, sober, and sorry. Broke, disgusted, and sad. Started traveling for Jesus. Lost everything I had. Oh, yes, amen. So, you ready?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Let's go. I'm just going to, as I say, just take you through this. Now, let me remind you that there was 24 hours that went by from the time Jesus spoke to that fig tree in Mark 11. In the 11th verse, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he looked round about upon all things, and now the evening was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. Now that is big. That's huge information. Because we have to do this thing the way he does it. Because it's his words. And here's the key. We're going to put his words in our mouths and then put his words filled with our faith that came out of his words. We're going to put it in our spirit and then bring it back out our mouths. It's still his word. He is backing it according to Hebrews 3:1. And you hear people say, "Oh, I just don't see what difference it makes what I say." Well, does it make any difference what Jesus will back or what he won't? I guess so. Well, he backs this. So don't say anything but this. But the process is you put it in your eyes and your ears. When you say it, you hear it.
Right.
Goes back in your ears, back in your spirit, back up and back out of your mouth.
That's right.
Now, until it becomes faith, you're taking thought saying. Now, this is the way you change your way of thinking. Listen very carefully. We can't get anywhere you get this. Can't even go through these steps because I'm going to be on one page, you're going to be on another. You remember the Word of God, 55th chapter of Isaiah? My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. Then it says, my word goes forth out of my mouth. It will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It'll grow inside you. Why? Let the wicked, the twisted, the worldly mind, carnal minded person forsake his thoughts and get on mine.
Amen.
Well, there's a process for doing that. Now, we've already found out now that Jesus said, why take ye thought saying, or take no thought saying? So that's a man, I'm telling you, that's big information. You need to remember it all the time. Every time you open your mouth, you need to remember that. I can't even quote those scriptures anymore without bringing you this, and I don't have time to explain it. You meditate on it. It's simple. It'll come on through to you. Natural physical pain. I'm not talking about some kind of broken heart pain. That the same thing would be true with that, but I'm talking about just the simple pain that comes from injury or whatever. Physical pain is in the realm of thought. That's the way your body gets your attention that something's wrong. It hits your thought life. It hurts. But the way you know that, if they put your conscious mind to sleep, you can hurt and not know it. And you get a pain and wake you up. So it's in that same area. It's not the same as a thought, but it is in that same area, and it can be handled the same way. Don't take the pain saying or hollering or wiggling around or flinching about it or making sure somebody else knows you hurt. Because when you do that, you're going to get some agreement. Two of you agree on this earth touching anything, man. I'm telling you, that thing's got roots. It starts growing like a weed. Now, I wish I had time to mess around in that, but I don't. We got to get on with what we're doing here. So, what is the process of changing the way you think? You got the way you think from your parents. And then it got developed on, depending on what they were developed in. Faith, fear, whatever. So, that's when you first developed your way of thinking. How do we think about that? How do you think about wealth? Well, we'll never have any, that's for sure. We're just poor folks. And proud of it. That is absolute carnality, right square crosswise against the Word of God. When they holler, poor boy, I don't answer.
Amen.
I used to. And I thought there was some kind of cap on me. Probably never would get any above that. You just blab and think and think and blab and just go on, and the devil's got you by the ear, and God can't get through to your innermost counsel.
That's right.
So how do you change that? You go to the Word. You take God's thoughts and you say them. Now, it hadn't done anything yet. I mean, you could do that. You could read words, you don't even know what they mean, and say them. I mean, it doesn't mean anything yet. But you take his thought, you think it, and you say it. And you read it, you choose to. You're making a decision here. I take that thought and I say it. By his stripes you were healed. I take that thought. Yeah! Oh, no, I don't need that thought. Oh, no, I ain't taking that. Mm-mm. I'm going to go to the book and get this thought. Now, I take that thought and say it. Take that thought and say it. Take that thought and say it. This takes discipline. What are you doing? You're not building up your faith. You're changing the way you think. You take that thought and say it. You take that thought and say it. Now you actually begin to develop your faith as you're doing this, but that's part of the process, but that's not just basically why we're doing this. We're doing this so our minds will stop challenging the Word of God and just get out of the way. Take the thought and say it. 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 Now what happened? Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Your mouth will begin to say that without you thinking about it. Now you've changed your way of thinking about that situation. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you what. Well, sure, this takes it. You can't just play with this on Sunday and do what we're talking about. There are millions of born again, lovely Christian people go to church every Sunday. Some of them go to prayer meeting during the week.
Amen. That's right.
But they are believers and not disciples. What they do all week long has absolutely nothing to do with the Word of God, and the Word has nothing to do with what they do. Everything Jesus says, everything He does, every word He ever breathed changes my life.
Amen.
I alter my life to fit Him. I don't care how stupid it looks to you or anybody else. In that case, I ain't interested in you much.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
Amen. I'll get interested in you because He said to. I love you because He commanded me to. That had nothing to do with the way you act. I love you because He commanded me to love you, and I'm going to do it. It blows a hole in North Texas. I don't care how I feel about that. The commander in chief said, I'm going to love you. It has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Amen. One morning I was glorious in one part of the house, I was in the other, and I was so tired, I felt like I'd been pulled under the door, you know. I mean, I've been preaching night and day and traveling, going, you know, and I'm back there in the back end of the house, you know. And she said something, I don't even know what she said. And I just barked, I'm not loud enough where she could hear me, I was standing. No, I'm not going to say something like that to hurt her. I'm not going to do that. But I just said it. I didn't even think. I just said, she don't care nothing about me. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord jerked me up and said, right in here, He said, it's none of your business. I mean, just like that. It just straightened me up. He said, it is none of your business whether she cares anything about you or not. I thought, it not? He said, no, it isn't. It is your business to care for her. It's none of your business whether anybody cares anything about you or not. You're not alive on this earth to try to get people to care for you or care about you. You are alive on this earth to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and love the brethren even as I have loved you. You got any questions? I said, no, sir. Oh, did it yank the slack out of me. Well, see, He supernaturally changed my way of thinking in 10 seconds, just like that. But now, I had to go back then and get the Scriptures and think that thought and say it. Think that thought and take it. Think that thought and take it. Think that thought and take it. And it gradually remolded my thinking. Now, I'm really glad that it did. Because I got to the place, I have no care of what you think about me.
Amen. Amen.
I love you. A million different what you do. Because it ain't my job to preach me. I've had people say, Brother Copeland, don't you give anything, don't you care at all what people think about you? I said, you have no idea how much I don't care.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much I don't care.
Come on.
That's it. Yeah.
But now, it hadn't always been like that. I knew I should be that way, but you have to change your way of thinking.
Right.
So, why? It is not my job to preach things that make you accept me.
Yes.
It's my job. I don't care what you believe about me.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to be a wrong influence toward you. And I'm not going to live my life in such a way that I'm a bad witness or bad testimony. No, but that's not on account of what you think. Because I have to live my life before God. It's not my job to preach me. It's my job to preach Jesus. Now, what you think about Him and what you believe about Him, that's very serious with me. Because that's my mission. That's what I do. Now, can you see where... Now, this... And you get into the Word like this, and you begin to think like God thinks, and you say, Yeah, that's right. And you say that to somebody out in the world, and that just sounds plumb stupid. Sounds backwards. Scripture says it sounds foolish. That's the reason if we give natural people interviews, which I don't, a lot of the time they're not against you and me, they just think we're stupid. And they try to fix what we say so it don't sound so foolish. Well, when they do, it sounds foolish to us. So don't spend your time with that. You don't need the publicity.
Right.
Really? Now, surely you found Mark 11. All right. 24 hours here went by. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. And then 24 hours later, He came back by there. Now, the first thing that happened here that was so important about this, when He walked through that temple and He saw all that mess going on in that temple, man, I mean, this could have made Him mad enough. I mean, it could have, but he couldn't afford to do that. He didn't say a word. He just walked through there and looked at all of it. Went home and prayed. Found out what to do because he never did anything in his entire life out of the love of God. Looked like he did, didn't it? Went in there and took care of business. What was happening in there? Money changing. That doesn't mean as much to you as it will if you study that a little bit and find out. It's the Babylonian system of fractional banking, which has got this country in the trouble that it's in today. God never designed this country to be on fractional banking at all. Because God didn't design that. Fractional banking is spending more money than you have and making it legal. You cannot. You understand me? You cannot. I didn't say you might not. I said you cannot. You cannot borrow your way out of debt.
Come on.
The only way you can do that is to borrow it, not intending to ever pay it back. So you're going to borrow it from this guy, pay off that one, and stick this other guy.
Yeah.
So you're dishonorable any way you go at it. You can't do it without lying. Because you had to lie to this guy to borrow the money to pay him. You made a dishonorable covenant. You bowed your knee to a man to get something he had in order to get something you want. Instead of believing God and using His ways to receive it. And you've become servant of the lender. That's fractional banking. Because the money they're borrowing right now in the government, they don't intend to ever pay it back. All they intend to do is pay the interest. They don't think they can pay it back. And I got some news for you. They can't.
I know they can't.
Because there ain't enough people in this country to pay enough taxes to pay off a $99 trillion debt.
That's right.
They're only talking about $65 trillion. You can't pay that off. You could pay it off $1,000 a minute and it'd take you 32,000 years to pay it.
That's right. That's right.
But they're talking about $65 billion. And there's another $30 trillion there that they ain't talking to you about.
Right.
That's a little, you know, little Humpty Dumpty bookkeeping there, little magic bookkeeping that you go to prison for.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
And they ought to go to prison for it, particularly doing it with our money. So they don't intend to ever pay that off. That they don't think it is possible to pay it off. It isn't. But if we start believing for it, God will pay it off.
Amen.
If we start believing this country out of debt as well as ourselves out of debt, you remember what Creflo said? You got to pay the bill, make the rules. Yeah. And that's what God intended in the first place through the blessing he intended for his people and him through his people to have sway over his nation. Why? So the nation can be blessed and not cursed. Now, he walked around through that temple before he did anything, didn't say a word, looked at it, went back to Bethany before he ever did anything. Why? Do you believe Jesus believed the Scripture? Yeah. He said, referring to the written word, he called the written word the wisdom of God. Right?
That's right.
What does the word say? Wisdom is the principal thing. You can't walk around in a mess like that, get all angry, and have the wisdom of God flowing through you. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Read that yesterday, didn't we?
Right.
Or the day before. Now, he walked through there. Say, well, Brother Copeland, didn't he just have the wisdom all the time? No, he had to get it the same way you do. He had to go to the Word and believe for it and get it.
Amen.
So, he did that. The next morning, he knew what to do. So when he's obeying the Father and went down there and got rid of the bankers and the tax collectors and people that were selling sacrifices and stuff like that, taking advantage of believers that had come from miles around and no way they could haul all those animals and stuff with them and really gouge them when they got to the temple because they had to have the birds or the animals or whatever to make these sacrifices. You're here and you got to do it and I know it. And man. And God got rid of that. But knowing what he was supposed to do took all the pressure off him. I love you. God loves you. God loves Osama bin Laden just as much as he does me. But Osama bin Laden does not have a covenant of blood with him. I do. So God has covenant responsibilities over me and over my family that he doesn't have over me. He could have. He could have it in 10 seconds. But he and Osama bin Laden's a faith man, but he's a deceived man. He's got his faith going in a non-God. Now, Gloria and I have a covenant. I have a covenant with her, a marriage covenant. Certain obligations I have that I stood up before God and said I would do. That I'd take care of her, love her as my own flesh, protect her as Christ loved the church. I love you. I have covenant responsibilities with her more than I do you. I love you. Don't you try to hurt her. I will stop you. You understand? And love you the whole time. Break your arm. And if that don't do, I'll break something else. And if it comes down to it, I'll kill you graveyard dead. To keep you off her. And just because you think I'm 72 years old, don't let that make a coward out of you. Not when you go to messing with her. Or my children. So, you know, so forth. Things I'm covenanted before God to do. I can do that without hate. Now, if I start hating you over it, I am way out of line. And so my whole purpose here is to be covenant-minded and keep the commandment of love, even if I have to do you harm to keep you off her. I'm not going to get in hate with you. I'm going to love you and pray for you and get you saved before you die. I am extremely serious about this. And God said to the armies of Israel, if you go to war armed before the Lord, then you come back home guiltless before the nation. Amen. Somebody had to have this morning. I didn't more intend to get into this. But this is important. When you see what Jesus did there that morning, he never did get out of love. He just obeyed the Father and went in there and chased that bunch out and quoted Scripture doing it. But he didn't just jump on it. He went overnight before he went back down there. Now, he spoke to the tree. Then 12 hours later they came by and nobody said anything about the tree. Obviously you couldn't see anything that it damaged it at all. But 24 hours later it withered up. So there was a 24-hour period there. Sometime during that period that tree just gave up the ghost. I mean, it was done. Well, now why? Did Jesus say, I kill you, tree?
No.
He spoke the end results and he spoke it one time. Now, you're not going to be heard for your much saying. Don't say anything until your faith is ready to come out of your mouth. Spend some time. Take that 24 hours. If it took 24 hours from him, it'd probably take a little longer than that for you and me. Just be quiet a while. Remind yourself of the Word. Take time and effort to strengthen your spirit and strengthen your mind. Before Joshua went into combat, the next day, God appeared to him and told him to meditate in His Word day and night. Don't meditate on that combat over there. Don't meditate on the dangers over there. Get your mind on me, and you will prosper in all that you do, and you'll see how to do what's written therein. That's what Jesus did the night before. Now, they called attention to it, and so he said, have faith in God. All right, I'm just going to walk you through this. I obey, Lord. You said have faith in God. I have faith in God. I obey. I have faith in God. Now I go to verse 23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I obey. I, Kenneth Copeland, am a whosoever. I have scriptural right to use the faith of God and expect results. Settle it right there. I say to the mountain of whatever in your life needs to be removed or changed. debt. Maybe a number of things. Don't just pile them all into one pile. They're not all one mountain. You may have a whole mountain range here that you're going to have to deal with in your life because it's built up there over a period of years of highly developed unbelief. You've talked those mountains into your life. Now you're going to have to talk them out of there. Oh, this is going to be hard. No, wait a minute. You got them by fear. You're going to remove them by faith. Hallelujah. Don't start exercising your fear expecting it to take a long time to get rid of it. Don't bleed for that. No, no. Expect the best and stay online. Hallelujah. Because see, there was things working there for 24 hours they couldn't see. There was underlying force going on. It went right to the root of the tree. It didn't hit the leaves. It hit the roots, and then it came out in the leaves. So there, the power and faith of God will work unless you retrieve it. It'll continue to work. Now, I, Kenneth Copeland, am a whosoever, and I say to the mountain of, let's use the mountain of debt. I say to the mountain of debt, be removed and be cast into the sea. Well, now, Brother Copeland, why do I have to say sea? You don't, unless you want to get results. Amen. We're putting the words of Jesus in your mouth, not yours. Amen. Don't make sense. How many times am I going to say this? When I'm talking about using the sense of God. I'm talking about using His faith. He calls things that be not as though they were. He doesn't call things that are as though they weren't. He calls things that be not as though they were. Now, why would He use the phrase, cast into the sea? Well, now, what would happen if you cast the mountain over to the other side of the road? You still got a mountain. If you cast it out that way, that way, that way, that way, that way, that way, you still got a mountain. If you brought them, you bought heavy equipment in there and dug that thing up and moved it over there, it's still there. You're still looking at that debt. You're still looking at that disease. You're still looking at that weakness. You're still looking at this family problem. You're still looking at that lack of money. You're still looking at the mountain. It's every which way you look, that mountain going to talk back to you and say, I'm right behind you, baby. You can figure on me being here a while. Yeah, I'm right here. Me and Sears are right here. Yeah. Me and Visa. Hello. I thought I cast you out. No, you just cast me over here. Now, Jesus said cast the thing into the sea. What does that mean? It is out of sight and gone. There ain't no evidence it ever was. It's completely gone. Amen. Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Gone, out of sight, now. Now let's obey the rest of this. Shall not doubt in his heart. Yes, sir, I obey. I refuse you, doubt. What is the root to the word doubt? D-O-U-B-T-L-E. That's the root. Double. Alternative. Two ways to go. God's word, their word. What I believe, what I see, what I hear. Da-da-da-da-da-da. A double-minded man, the word says, hesitates, he's dubious. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, and the Lord gives liberally unto all men, and upbraids not. Will not, you're false. This is what upbraid means, false. Your false won't keep God from giving you His wisdom. If it did, how could you ever get rid of the fault?
Yeah.
He loves you. He's dealing with you in grace.
Amen.
You don't want justice.
Amen.
You want justice satisfied. You don't want judgment. Well, what did I do to deserve this? Everything. I'm like Brother Moore in this. I don't just jump on people when they say it, but maybe I should. He'll say, "Well, Brother Copeland, I see you got that citation 10. Yeah, glory be to God. Yes, sir. Well, if anybody deserves it, it's you, bull." You heard me. I don't deserve what, me deserving. I didn't get anything deserving it. I got it by grace, by faith. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory to God. Amen.
Yes.
He's faithful and he's just. So what does he do? He gives me his justice. Justice is served. Not by me going to hell, by me going free. Hallelujah. Whoa. I mean, hey, man, I can camp right there because that's where my life is, brother. Man, I want mercy. You hear me? I got to have mercy. I have to have a 100-fold return on mercy. Glory to God. But I have learned to accept it by faith instead of groveling around about it and getting over into pride because I'm so humble.
Come on.
No, no. True humility, according to the Word of God, is when you cast all your care over on it. Now then, I refuse to doubt gone out of sight. I believe what I just said has come to pass. Therefore, I have what I say. Now, who authorized me to say that? That's Jesus' words in my mouth. Amen. Now, do you believe he operates that way?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Now, here's what most people have never realized about Mark 11:24. Now, listen to what Jesus said now. He said, whosoever, have the faith of God, whosoever shall say. Well, does whosoever include him? Yeah, he's a man. Living under, he's a pure man, yes. But if he had not been living under man's obligation to God, then what would he have been? Can't be. He wouldn't have been our sacrifice. He wouldn't have been our Lord and our Savior. No, he was tempted the same way we were without sin. Now, so he had to use his faith. He had to use God's word. You can search the old covenant and find every word he said here. It's all in there. Well, listen. That Jesus stuff y'all preach, I found out he didn't originate none of that. I found all of that over here in the Old Covenant. Well, I could have told you that 25 years ago, dumb. He said, I only say what my Father says. I only say what he's taught me to say. I only do what I see him do. No, he never originated anything. Didn't claim to. Gave his Father credit for 100% of it. Praise God. That's exciting because that means I have access to every word of it myself. And that's what he intended to do. He took things we have access to and then proved how to live it. But now here's what's so big about this. Clarence, what if I came up to you and I said, now Clarence, now listen. You, You have every right to use the faith of God. So, if you say to that mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, not doubt in your heart, believe what you say comes to pass, you will have what you say. Now, do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Therefore, I say, he just used it.
Yes.
Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them.
Yeah.
He took that biblical principle and he took his faith and his words and he released it. Well, do you think he ever took it back? Why, no, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is alive today as it ever was. Can a sinner use this? Absolutely so. You can speak to that sin in your life and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Glory to God. And he released it that day.
Amen.
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 Now, don't ever forget that. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. No, sir, Jesus said this, and I'm following what he said. I'm doing exactly what he said. Now then, so I'm going to obey that. I'm going to put that in my mouth now. What things soever you desire, yes, sir. What things soever I desire, so I read it aloud. As I read it, therefore, I say unto you, don't just hear your own voice coming out your mouth. You're hearing the voice of Jesus. These are his words. They are eternal. He said, heaven and earth pass away, but my word won't. This is eternal. Living word of the living God. He took it from his Father, put it in his mouth, put it in his heart, and spoke it to you. And you take it from him, and you put it in your heart, and you put it in your mouth, and it carries exactly the same weight and power as God did when he stood and said, light be! Which word from God is stronger than the other one? No such thing. Because he never spoke a weak word.
Amen.
Huh? So, these are his words coming out of my mouth, speaking directly to me. Yes, sir. I obey. Yes, I do. So, I get my notebook out, and I write these things down, and I say them as I read them. And now, my desire is to be totally free of this debt. Now, don't let your mind get in there and start figuring out what you can do and what you can't. No, we're not talking your words right now. No, no. You are adjusting your lifestyle to fit his word instead of his word to fit your lifestyle or what you can think or what you can figure out. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night one day and said, I want you to believe for the billion flow. I said, yes, sir. I just immediately said it. And he said, when you were winning thousands, when you were receiving thousands, you were winning thousands. Then you moved on up till you began to believe for millions. You started winning millions. Why? It took millions to win millions.
Yeah. Right.
See? Yeah. But I had to believe for it first. Well, both sides of it, really. He said, now, I want you to believe for the billions that it'll take to win billions. So I started confessing that. This is a number of years ago. Well, I got it. Boy, it woke me up. So there wasn't a way I was going to go back to sleep. I laid back down. I thought, billion flow. Billion with a B, 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 billion. Praise God. Billion. Billionaire. Yes. Mm-hmm. Billion. Yeah. Yeah. Billion. Yeah. That's right. Uh-huh. Zero, 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 zero. Yeah, that's right. And so then I kind of let my mind run amok, you know, it's running along there. How in the world would God ever get $1 billion of me? And I'm just enjoying it, you know, and laying it. But, and the word of the Lord came to me. Right in the middle of it. Well, I have a working agreement with him, you know. And I invited him in. Anytime. All the time. Correction? Yes, that's on top of the list. I need to be corrected. All the time. Why? Because I want to be directed.
Right.
And protected.
Yes.
And perfected.
Yes.
So, and he said, I have 1,000,000 ways I could get $1 billion to you and you can't think of 3. And I thought, well, surely I can think of 3. I thought of 1, and the rest of them were so stupid, I'm not going to tell you what they were. It's the dumb man. Why? He got out there beyond what I could ask or think. And so I had to spend some time out there and in the Word and confessing it by faith and went through this process right here and believe I received it. And now, I not only can think it, I can ask it. And here recently, we did an audit of the finances of the ministry from the beginning up until, well, this was last year that we did this. So it would have been the year before that, but the audit went up through that. And at that time, this ministry has received $1,400,000,000. And I ain't too sure yet how he did it. I don't care. Because I trust him with my life. I trust him with my finances. And he'll come by it honestly. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, the world picked up on it. They tried to twist it into something ugly, of course. Because they don't like it when preachers and Christians have anything. They think it's wasted on us. You remember when that... Oh, when Mary broke that alabaster box of very expensive ointment and anointed Jesus with it, and there were people in the crowd said, what is this waste? You mean to tell me that you're going to waste something on Jesus? Well, now, wait a minute before your righteous indignation gets all stirred up here. It's Judas that said that. But the Bible says his other disciples agreed with that and called it a waste. This could have been sold and given to the poor. How many times I have heard that out of the world? They ain't giving nothing to the poor,
right.
But they want me to sell what's mine and give it to the poor. I give to the poor as the Lord tells me to give to the poor. I give the Lord the praise and the glory for this. Last year, between 7 and 10 million. I'm not going to sell that Citation 10 and give it to the poor. Unless the Lord tells me to. He tells me to, I'll do it today, he says it. But I'm not going to do it just because some guy thinks that airplane's wasted on a preacher. They don't think it's wasted on some other company, Walmart's. They don't think a Citation 10, the heiress of Walmart's has a Citation 10. She had some little old Mickey Mouse jet. She had to sit there with her luggage in her lap until she found out about ours. And some of the guys that were helping us fly our airplane were flying her. That was her crew. And they finally got her to come look at that airplane. She said, well, why don't I get one of these? And they said, we've been trying to tell you this, lady, for 2 years. She finally did. She is a lovely person and tight as a hat band. She's just wonderful, just lovely. But boy... I mean, until she's convinced that it's what to do, well, then she'll go ahead and do it. But, you could never accuse her of ever being a spendthrift. Boy, she is not. And God bless her for it. But now, She got that airplane. She thought, boy, that's the most wonderful thing I've got in my life. But now let me tell you something. What you're getting here today is far more important than what you leave here and go to Walmart and get.
That's right. Amen.
Walmart deserves to prosper because they do a service to people. Amen. Well, all that preacher wants is your money. That's all Walmart wants.
That's right. Amen. Right.
So what you need to do is discern the product. That what Jesus was doing was far more important. Far more important. She caught a revelation of it. He had raised her brother from the dead. It was the most precious thing she could think of, and she poured it on him.
Yes.
Fill the room with the perfume. It was precious to her. It was the best thing she had, and today's dollars is worth about $35,000. To her, it was precious. But to Judas, well, I could have sold that and give it to the poor. Well, the word said it wasn't because he cared anything about the poor. It's because he was a thief. They got money that he could have had his hands on. And the reason he's so bent out of shape over it is because that's about what he owed, probably. Oh, and he don't want Jesus finding out about it. And he been stealing from the sack and nobody knew it but Jesus. And he didn't think Jesus did. Now, let me tell you something about Judas. His mind is twisted over the love of money. Let me show you what a dumb decision he made. He was not trying to kill Jesus. He was not trying to betray him. He was trying to get his hands on 30 pieces of silver. He had seen them trap Jesus before. They tried to catch him. They tried to stone him. And they couldn't even find him. He hid himself and walked out from amongst them. He's not listening to a thing Jesus said. Jesus kept telling him, they're going to kill me and betray me and all these things. And he didn't hear any of that. He got this money thing on his mind. Set right there and entered into a bread covenant with the man. Sopped in the plate with him. And ate after him. Covenant relation. Covenant of salt. Covenant relationship here. Got right up and went right over there to those guys and got that 30 pieces of silver. He's figuring on putting it in the bag. They ain't going to be able to touch him. Are you kidding me? See, the word wasn't even in his mind. He wasn't even hearing it. He had that money on his mind. I don't have the billion flow on my mind. I got it in my heart.
Amen.
But we've been way past it before I ever knew we even got there. Why? Because I don't go check it all the time. I don't have to. I don't have to look and see. Yeah. I don't have to read the books. Yeah. I got a book. I read that book.
Yeah.
And it's mine in the name of Jesus, and all hell can't keep
That's
me from
right.
having it. I'm the only one who can keep me from having it. And he was shocked to the point he went back over there and threw that money at those guys. He never dreamed that they'd be able to capture him. Should have. Right there in the book. Should have listened to Jesus. He should have known. He doesn't have time to listen to him. He's a bookkeeper. Used to be Jesus' best friend. His treasurer. Went out and hung himself. Now, that's a dumb thing to do. But he did it. Now, Peter betrayed him. Peter was one of those that agreed that it was a waste. And he betrayed him. Denied him. After Jesus told him he would. And he did it anyway. But instead of killing himself, he wept and repented, and the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter to meet me down there. Now, God didn't cut him off. Jesus didn't fire him. He separated himself from him.
That's right.
And Jesus wanted him back. Why? Where you been? Grace. By faith. And he cried and all that, but didn't kill himself. Got up and went back over there and got back in there. Praise the Lord, glory be to God. Amen. Now, Can you take this a little more here?
Yes.
My desire to be totally free of this debt, I receive it now. Jesus said, I shall have it, and so I shall. Now, wait a minute, you're not done. You don't just jump up and write out that desire and say, well, yeah, this is mine. Well, no, wait. There's still verse 25. This is the biggest verse in the whole thing. The whosoever and, verse 25, to you and to me are just huge. He's talking about the faith of God, and that's big. That's big, but it hinges on these other two things. I can't argue with whosoever.
Amen.
Well, now, Brother Copeland, you see, this is just a spiritual mountain. Really? Well, you need to tell Jesus that because he messed up over in the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter. He should have known this. I wish you'd have told him this before he made this big mistake here. You should have told me before I got in the billion flow. Chapter 21 of the book of Matthew, 21st verse. Jesus answered and said unto them, now listen to me, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. Was it a real fig tree? Or was it just a figment? No, it's a fig tree, not a figment. Or fig. Is it figment or figmunt? Huh? Figment? Yeah, you ain't from Texas, are you? No, it's a figment, brother. right there, that's a figment of your imagination. No, it's a fig tree. A real fig tree and a real mountain. Now then, when you stand praying, forgive. Well, faith worketh by love. If you don't do this, then those other 22nd, 23rd, 24th verses, they don't even work. You have to take the time to do this. And you do it on purpose as an act of will. Not because you feel any better about it. Not because what they did or what they didn't do. Well, I'll forgive them whenever they come and ask me for it. Well, the mountain's going to stand there. And when they ask you for it, you don't qualify. Because you're forgiving as an act of response, not an act of faith. You forgive because Jesus said to forgive. And you don't need any other reason than that. He's the commander-in-chief. Bless God, what do you feel like it or not? Doesn't have anything to do with it. You just stand to attention and say, yes, sir. Consider it done. I forgive them by faith. And I go over there to 1 John. And I confess it, and I repent of it, call it what it is, the sin of unforgiveness. And not your social problem. It is the sin of unforgiveness. Spew the thing out of your mouth.
Yes.
That isn't when the Lord found out about it. That's when you got rid of it. Amen. And you might just feel like a dog about it, but or whatever it was you did. But the Scripture said, He's faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins when we confess them.
Amen.
He'd have to be unfaithful to you and unrighteous before God, unjust, not to forgive you when you confess them. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now that's what we're after.
Amen.
Cleansing by faith, not by feeling, not by sight. Act of your will. Write it down and date it. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, you're walking down the street and here that brother comes out that store and you're face on with him. And all of a sudden, all the hackles on the back of your neck, you know, man, what that old rascal said about me, what he said about my family. Now, no, Lord, I thought I forgave him 3 days ago. Now, wait a minute. Don't dump your whole deal here. Don't dump your faith because of your feelings. You did.
Yeah.
What you're dealing with now are sin symptoms. Feelings. You probably trained your flesh to feel like that about that person. That old hurt reach up in there and grab you. It's in your soul. Don't say it and get it back in your spirit. Now, no. That brother's forgiven. Hello? Hey, bud, how you doing? And he's trying to duck because, you know. Say, hey, could I see you for a minute? He comes over and say, hey, I've been stupid long enough. Jesus said, when I stand praying, forgive. And I have to obey him. And brother, I want to tell you something. Of course, I'm asking you to forgive me, but whether you do or whether you don't, I wouldn't much blame it if you didn't. But I want you to know I love you. And I don't care anymore about anything except what Jesus said. Now, he's going to have to be a real gold-plated jerk to walk away from that because the love of God begins to flow. Boy, I tell you, it'll melt you. But even if he is a jerk and he says, I ain't forgiving you now or any other time, say, well, God bless you, sir. Go on about your business. What happened? You got it out of you.
That's right.
He had a chance to get it out of him, but what he does now, that you don't want that affecting your prayer life. And every time you pray, oh, Lord, I'm a forgiver, not a condemner. I am a forgiver. Praise God. Well, now, Brother Copeland, it may take me a couple of months to do it, but I'll forgive him. You can't stand for 2 months. He said, when you stand, pray and forgive. That means right now, you can do it right now while you're standing there praying. Write it down on your notebook where you wrote the rest of this down and say, I forgive so-and-so in the name of Jesus and I'll never pick it up again. I roll this care over on you, Jesus. Praise God. As far as I'm concerned, I find no fault in them. No. Amen. Go on about your business. You don't need that unforgiveness crippling your faith. Dangerous. Amen. So now it's in operation. Read that again and again. This two verses. Whatsoever thing you desire, and when you stand praying, forgive. Spend some time here. That mountain you spoke to has some roots. It wasn't a mountain for nothing. Scripture says there is no curse causeless. And Satan will do his best to hide out from you. So just pray. Say, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. I judge myself before you and I'll not be judged with the world. No, don't try to judge other people. Don't start that. You're not qualified to judge other people. You're not qualified to criticize people. So don't do it. Get out of that. Just stop it right now. So, thank you, Jesus. Suka haitiela, mangrot ochke kalalama, brondon dingen delisiskitala. Father, show me the roots to that debt.
Well, I just can't quit spending, Brother Copeland.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Well, you're right, you can't. But if you don't, the hole is getting deeper. And there is a rule called the rule of the whole. It's a financial rule, not W-H-O-L-E, H-O-L-E, the rule of the whole. When thou findest thyself in a hole, stop digging. Say, Brother Cooper, what scripture is that? I don't know. It's right next to every tub has set on its own bottom, you know. Or God helps those who help himself. Or the worst one I believe I've ever heard in all of my life was, well, yes, that's right, Brother Copeland. The Bible says that the preacher should lie down with the leper.
Wow.
There's some guys quoted that on TV talking about preachers that had money and shouldn't have them. And I said, yeah, the Bible says that. And another two ding-dongs sitting there said, yeah, that's right. Keith Moore called my attention to it, and I thought, dear Lord, brother, have you ever read that? He said, no. That the preacher's supposed to lie down with the leper? Well, it may be in some of them other Bibles. Or some other God's book. Well, not our God's book. Because we're redeemed from the curse. So, I got to get on my horse here. We got this to cover. Now then, why is that verse 25 so important and the wisdom of God to dig up those roots? It was that tree died by the roots. You don't want to just surface that mountain of debt. You don't want to just surface that mountain of sickness and disease. And I'm not knocking medical science. But on the other hand, I'm knocking it when it tries to take the place of gospel science.
Amen.
Because, particularly in the United States, American medicine is one of the worst medical systems on earth. It is nowhere near the best. It quit being the best a number of years ago because of a situation. I don't have time to get into it now, but the bottom line is this. American medicine does not treat people. They treat disease.
That's right.
And in a lot of cases, they mask disease. An aspirin will not cure a headache.
That's right.
The headache is still there. The cause of it is still there. It just does what it does to mask it where you don't feel it. Well, that's the reason American people are so big on their feelings. One of the reasons. If I don't feel it, everything must be all right. Like that fellow said, your dad is not really sick because sickness doesn't actually exist. Oh, yes, there is a big religion on this, supposedly based on the New Testament. Well, they saw the little boy a few weeks later and said, does your daddy still think he's sick? He said, no, ma'am, he thinks he's dead now.
Wow.
You don't deny sickness and disease. If you do, you got to deny the curse. No. That's mental gymnastics, mental religion, masquerading as spiritual thought. No. It's real. But it's not the truth. The truth about it is, by his stripes you were healed. The truth about it is, we're redeemed from the curse. The truth about it is, all sickness and all disease not even written in this book of the law are under the curse.
That's right. Amen.
I don't deny the existence of the disease. Like Jerry said, I deny its right to exist in my body. But even if the symptoms are there, they're not the truth. The truth is, by his stripes I was healed. Now, if I continue to confess the truth and rebuke this thing and cast it into the sea, believe in my heart and say it with my mouth, and therefore whatsoever thing I desire when I pray, believe I receive it and I shall have it, and I stand praying, forgive, now I qualify. You get off my body. I stand on the word of God. I keep the commandment of love. You have no right to be, you have no cause to be on my body, and I'm not going to turn loose of it until the truth changes the facts. Well, that is... I'm telling you, when you really renew your mind to that, and the truth changes the fact. Man, most powerful thinking that people can do on this earth. Because those are the thoughts of God. These are the words of Jesus that we're putting in our mouths. Why is verse 25 so important? Well, think about it. Whose words did you put in your mouth?
Boy, that was weak.
Huh?
Jesus.
Whose words did you put in your mouth?
Jesus.
Who has to back those words?
Jesus.
Come on, folks. Get it in your mouth. Who has to back those words?
Jesus.
In whose name does that mountain have to bow its knee?
Jesus.
Under whose law do you live, Moses or Jesus?
Jesus.
What is that law? The law of love.
Yes.
Who is the author of your faith?
Jesus.
Who said have faith?
Jesus.
Who said speak to the mountain?
Jesus.
Who said believe you receive?
Jesus.
Who gave himself for you?
Jesus.
Who receives and blesses your tithe?
Jesus.
Now who said it?
Jesus.
Then bless God, do it, and do it now.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's no more time for you to sit around feeling sorry for yourself because there's this big mountain in your life. Don't you ever feel sorry for yourself. To feel sorry for yourself, you have to say, I don't have it. I just heard. I'm just so this. I'm just so that. Whatever happened to grace? Whatever happened to faith? Now, you're going to have to do the same thing that I did in order to get this depression root, which is the fear dependent. You're going to have to get this thing out of your life. And to get it out, you are going to have to face it, and you are going to have to say to it and to yourself, feeling sorry for myself is sin. And I treat it like sin. And I repent of it. I refuse to let this in my mind ever again. I think with the mind of Christ, not the carnal mind of my flesh. And spew that thing out where it belongs. Put it under your feet. And quit your bawling, squalling around and put yourself upright and stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Get yourself by the ear. Get that unbelief out of your mouth. Get it out. Oh, glory to God. And be careful. Careful. Well, let's go over to Philippians 4:6 and we can close this and act on it. Because this is where you pick up on it. Right after you've done this. Well, Brother Copeland, I got up this morning, that mountain was still there. Well, if it took Jesus 24 hours, it's probably going to take you maybe 25. Maybe not, because he's still the one in action here. Amen. So don't be moved by what you see or what you feel. No, no. In the name of Jesus, as far as I'm concerned, the thing is gone. I don't even look over there. I don't need to look over there and see if that's gone. I did this. Gloria and I did. I know other people that have done the same. You do have to be honest about it, and you have to be very careful about it. You're going to have to be just brutally honest with yourself. Not condemning, but honest. Amen. Let's say this is a Visa bill, or whatever it is, house payment, car payment, whatever it is. It's been so long since I had any debt. When you borrow money for a car, do they still give you them little payment books? Huh? My goodness. It's been 41 years and about 2 months since I borrowed any money. Things have obviously changed. Let me just go. But they used to do this. I'll put it that way. You go to the bank, you borrow the money for the car or whatever, and they send you this little book of payments. If it is a 12-month, they send you 12 pages in your book. 24 months would be 24 pages in your book. Or they might give you a little bank book. It's just a little ledger you keep up with your payments in. It's something like that. Instead of doing it online. Yeah, we did it online. Hard line. And you fill out that slip, put your check with it, send it in. So you had a stub then that you took for your bookkeeping, and you sent the slip in, and they recorded that, and that's where you kept up with your payments. Your payment book. Hated that thing. So we took that payment book, or you can take your bills. We also did this with all the bills we had, because, man, we owed people that had written us off. And we took those bills and laid them out all on this little desk that I had. It wasn't much bigger than this podium. Laid them all out there. There they were. Bank and this one and that one. I took checks, and I wrote checks for each one of those bills. But now, hey, don't be a fool now and start mailing those faith checks. No, that's fraudulent, not faith.
Well, I know so-and-so did that, and God backed it.
Well, I don't care. They did. It's not honest. It's not faith. That's trickery. Don't send it. I wrote them all out and put them in that little desk drawer right there in front of them. And I'd open that drawer, and I'd put my hand in that drawer, and I'd say, thank God every one of these debts are gone. Amen. Cast into the sea. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And look here, I'm a debt-free man. Amen. Now, I single up on this one here. I'm talking to you. You're leaving my household. Amen. And every little bit I'd get, man, don't you figure you're not going to tithe till you get these paid off. You ain't ever going to get them paid off, because you owe God every time you do that. That's what got Adam in trouble, not just the eating of the fruit. It wasn't his fruit. That was his tithe.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. He picked it green, and he ate of it, and he robbed God. The sin was not just disobedient, it was theft. He's a thief. Satan's a thief. He's a thief first. Steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
So, you talk to that thing. Everything you get, you tithe. You don't have anything left. Forget about it. Smile as big as you can and say, Lord, you got debts here because I'm debt free. See? Amen. Little less than 11 months, the drawer was empty. Hallelujah. This was before we had great and wonderful invitations and the meetings we went to, you know, two people showed up and one of them is a pastor's wife. It had to grow. And the best meeting financially I ever had, the Lord told me it's going to be. And the first thing the pastor said to me when I got there, he said, Brother Copeland, I couldn't guarantee you $50 if you stayed a month. I said, did I ask you to? He said, no. I said, did I bring up any financial arrangement? No, sir. Well, I'd already promised God I'd never preach anywhere based on a financial arrangement.
Amen.
God called me one time to go to Israel to preach to one woman. Wasn't a big offering in that. Because one of her problems was she's broke. I said, you want me to go 9,000 miles to preach to one woman? Boy, he jerked me up. He said, that's my daughter. Oh, yes, sir. I'm okay. I'm out of here. And this is before I had an airplane to go that far, you know. And I said, well, you arranged the trip. But man, I'm on my way. And he told me he had two other things he wanted me to do. But I had to agree to that first. In a matter of hours, Pat Boone called me. Pat and I have been friends since before I got saved. And he called me. He said, listen, I'm taking a tour to Israel. And he said, I just got it in my heart and mind you're supposed to go. I said, yeah, I'll go with you. I already had my assignment, but I don't tell them.
Right.
That's between God and me. No, I don't tell them. I said, Lord, how come you want... Why? He said, you're the only one she listened to right now. Oh. He said, if Kelly was on the other side of the world and there was somebody you knew could help her and you had money enough to do it, would you think twice about sending somebody over there to help her? I said, no. Yeah, ain't that much money. If that's what it takes for my baby. He said, well, that's my baby over there and I need you to go over there. I said, yes, sir. I didn't have money enough to buy the tickets on that thing. I said, and I told Pat, I said, yes, sir, we'll go. Don't start talking to somebody like, well, I'll go if you need to agree with me where I'll have
Come
some
on.
Money. If God's told you to go, shut up about
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And sow towards it.
Yeah, right.
Appreciate it. Tithe early.
Yeah.
Going to cost $500? Tithe 50 before you get to 500. Man, I mean, just get out there on a limb somewhere. Dare them to saw it off. And so, got over there. One of the other things he told me to do, he said, I want you to go over there and then I want you to call that war demon down. And this is the war between Syria and Israel. He said, I want you to go over and speak to that thing. I said, okay, now you know us. That's your business now. He said, I'll take care of it. Well, the money came in. We bought the tickets. Was absolutely no problem to it. Got over there. I said, now, Lord, you got to arrange this for me. He said, I got it working. I said, okay. Now, the third thing he told me to do, I ain't going to tell you. So just forget. I'll tell you these two. And so he said, okay, well, just right off of the bat, had an opportunity to minister to that young lady that he sent Glory and I over there to minister to, and she got healed, and just really was just a wonderful man. I didn't tell her, God sent me over here to minister just to you. Don't shoot your mouth off all the time. Satan will bait you just to find out what God told you to do so he can build defenses against you. Shut up. Trust God. Oh, how wonderful it is to see you. Amen. Yes, Brother Copeland, it's wonderful to see you and Glory. Well, how's your mother? I haven't seen her in a long time. She's doing fine. Wonderful. I wonder if you and Glory could pray for me. Why? Sure, I'd be glad to pray for you. Now, all the time on the inside, I'm thinking, come on, girl. See, now she's going to have to walk by faith, too. I can't. Unless the Lord says, you tell her this, then keep your mouth shut about it. Because faith comes by hearing the word, not by something or other that you got worked up. When I laid hands on that woman, I tell you, the power of God like to knock her hat off. Bam, man, it hit her. She and down she went. Oh, brother. And I didn't know whether she's speaking Hebrew or English. And she wasn't speaking English. I knew that. But I didn't know whether it's tongues or Hebrew or Aramaic. I don't know what she's speaking. But down she went, brother. Praise God. Come up healed. Well, that's one of my jobs. So then Brother Pat called me the next morning. He said, "Hey, what are you doing this morning?" I said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "They called me and want me to go up there on the line and sing for the troops up there. You want to go?" "Yeah, I think I'll go along with you." Got up there, walked out, and, you know, Pat Boone wrote the lyrics to Exodus. Do you think they wanted him to sing Exodus? No, they wanted him to sing Speedy Gonzales. He told me, he said, "If that's what they want, I'm going to sing it." But but then, he, you know, he had witnessed to them about the Lord and so forth, out of the Old Covenant, and 91st Psalm and so forth. Man, and the power of God was there. We went down in the bunkers where the artillery crews were. And got down there, he's singing Speedy Gonzales, you know. And I'm standing back over here just praying in the Holy Ghost. They don't know who I am from Adam's goat. And I'm enjoying this, man. And I'm just praying. They had a vicious firefight just before we got there. And so we just prayed about it, of course, took authority over the thing. And then it just was over, and they put us right back in the equipment, and we went right in there, right behind that firefight. And so then the next crew we went to was standing outside there, and I can see Syria from where we are. And they're listening to Speedy Gonzales. So I just, thank you, Lord. You walked out from among them. They didn't know where you went. And they're just going, man. They didn't even know I was there or wasn't there. And I backed up. And I'm planning on speaking to that spirit that's driving Syria the way God revealed to Daniel, who was driving where he was, in Babylon. The spirit that was working over that country. And I'm backing off over there. Ooh, did I get a rude surprise. Kabloom! Man, I'm telling you, they cut loose of that mobile artillery. That thing was as close to me as from here to the edge of the platform there, man. And another one, wah-room, wah-room. Boy, they'd begin to lob out. I said, "Yeah, I'm in the right spot here, man. It's just right where I'm supposed to be." Now, when we taxied up on LL, we drove up there, and Air Force One, it wasn't Air Force, it was the airplane. But it wasn't Air Force One because the president wasn't on it. It was Secretary Kissinger. And they were taxiing out, and the LL captain came on the horn and said, "Well, it breaks our heart to see that big blue and white airplane taxi out with no end to this war. We were expecting maybe to come to peace terms while the secretary was here," and it taxied out, and everybody on the airplane went, "Ooh." Now that was on a Wednesday. We went up there Thursday. I ministered to her on Thursday. We went up there on Friday. I just turned around and said, "You foul spirit of war, driving the state of Syria, I rebuke you. You come down from your place of authority and you fall on your face in the dirt the way God told you to in the Garden of Eden. Now get down there now. You bow your knee to the name of Jesus." Well, they're doing so much shooting, there ain't nobody but the devil heard me. And I just kind of moseyed back over there. Pat's finishing up on Speedy Gonzales. Of course, they had to wait till these guys quit shooting, you know, before he finished singing. They never knew I left. That's on Friday. Sunday morning, they called a special peace conference. They quickly flew Mr. Kissinger back over there, and they had it signed before dark on Monday. Well, let me tell you what I did. No, the only people that know it are you, is you.
That's right.
I never said anything bad about it. Why should I? I didn't do nothing. All I did was obey God and use the name of Jesus. That's just nothing but the grace of God to even let me go over there.
Hallelujah.
I did enjoy it, though, I got to tell you. Yes, amen. And some of these days I'll tell you what assignment number 3 was. Not today. Now then, amen. I can tell you this now, as we wrap this up this morning. What have you just done? What is so vitally important here? What has just happened? When you activate these things, you have released the power of God in a way that most people know little to nothing about. But you're going to find out about it. We're going to get into it tonight. And we're going to hear the lion of the tribe of Judah roar tonight. And tomorrow night. If you just have to go back home, I'm telling you, you get the DVDs of this and the CDs and watch it all together with your family and take the CD and listen to it on the way to work and get it. There is a wall of separation between the curse and the blessing. It's the blessing wall. It's the wall that Satan was crabbing about where Job was concerned. You built a wall around him and all that he has. You blessed him. He was hacked about it. It's the wall around the land of Goshen. Do you know why that? You know why that wall was around Goshen? You do know it was the blessing of the Lord on Joseph. See, every member of Jacob's family was the seed of Abraham. Every one of them had access to the blessing of Abraham. But they'd gotten so far off of it as a family, they were failing big time. Man, I mean, they're committing every kind of stupid thing you could think of. So there wasn't any book back there then. God had a prophet born in their household and gave him 2 dreams. He gave him a dream and then he gave him a confirmation dream in order to get them back over on the blessing of Abraham. Now, instead of getting on it, they got rid of him. But he wouldn't let go of it. Well, you see, Brother Copeland, God sent Joseph to Egypt because he knew there was a famine coming and they would need the food of Egypt. Put your genetically altered Bible up. Get that religion thing out of there. No. The blessing came on Egypt because Joseph was there. Now go back and read it again. Same thing had happened with Isaac and Abimelech, blessing of the Lord, is what caused it. Not only caused the bountiful years, but the blessing gave Joseph the plan. Now you talk about something. At one time, Joseph had all of the money in Egypt in his hands. And then, but money had failed. And then the blessing caused all of the land in Egypt to be in his hands. He owned the entire land mass of Egypt at one time. And then he owned all of the people. Every human being in Egypt came under subjection to him, not just because he was in authority, but they sold themselves to him in bondage for food. They were his slaves. Well, rather than to hoard it over them, he gave it all to Pharaoh. He sold it. He didn't keep it. And he just kept getting more powerful and more powerful. He just kept sowing. So the blessing of the Lord was on him. Where did they give Joseph to live in appreciation as prime minister of Egypt? Where was his land grant? Goshen. He blessed it, and it stayed blessed for 400 years. That ought to make you shout your hair down. Praise God. Yeah. There's a wall around it. Redemption wall. Christ has redeemed us, severed us, divided us from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through him. There's a wall there. When the flies came on Goshen, they couldn't get in there. They couldn't get past the wall. Well, neither can them swine flu germs. Neither can that virus. Neither can sickness and disease. If you know what you're doing where that wall is concerned. But in unforgiveness, you tear it down. In fear, you tear it down. So in this process, what we have done, we've put the wall back. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this will give you some insight. Because it's the body of Christ in this country that has always made it prosper. Not this country's great resources and all that kind of thing. It certainly hasn't been our wonderful politicians that did it. It's a handful of men and women that got in there and prayed God's wisdom into the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, which is just a copy of the Bible.
Come on.
There, and the blessing was able to work in spite of all the unbelief. Because there's a remnant of the body of Christ that was functioning in this nation, preaching the gospel and supporting Israel. Now, 1963, they decided, well, in 1913, they decided they wanted to go fractional banking. And it created the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, there was a guy running against Andrew Jackson that wanted the central bank of America. And Mr. Jackson said, no, sir, there's not going to be a central bank in the United States. You're not going to destroy this nation like that. And he said, if you get elected, I'll blow your brains out on the Capitol steps. You will never be president of the United States, and I want you to understand exactly what I'm telling you. This was in the campaign. And he said, they'll hang you for that, Jackson. He said, I've offered my life for my country before. And you understand me, you'll never be president of the United States, and there'll never be a central bank in this country because it'll destroy this nation and its sovereignty and its freedom. He said, I'll kill you dead on the Capitol steps. So much for political correctness. He meant every word of it. You know how they got the votes to put in Federal Reserve Bank, which is not a part of the federal government? It's a private corporation, and none of the board of its directors are American citizens. And it's classified information. You can't find out who they are. I don't have to find out who they are. I know what they are. Well, I won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but you can track it back. when they finally took it off of the standards and went totally fractional with it, which means no such thing as money. Unless you believe it's money, and I believe it's money, then we can swap for goods from one another. But if I ever decide it isn't money, it ain't money. It's a note. It says Federal Reserve note. Now, when you get it away from the standards of God, which they did in 1913, and the way they did it, it got voted down in Congress over and over and over again to put the Federal Reserve Act in. So they waited until Christmas. There was a group of bankers got together in order to get this thing done. And I'm not talking about honest bankers. I'm talking about something you don't want. And they pressured President Wilson into calling a special session of Congress on the Christmas holidays when nobody was there. It kind of sounds familiar. And they got this thing done. And they put in the Federal Reserve. And Mr. Wilson, bless his heart, when he realized later what he had done, before he died, he said, "I have ruined my country." And that's when fractional banking was introduced in the United States. And it is the system of Babylon. Debt, money that's not real, prosperity generated by humans and not God. But we ain't done yet. We're not done yet. It's like I told you the other day, I ain't dead yet. Amen. Now then, I got some reports for you. We can do this. Every time we have a partner meeting, I got my mind made up now. I'm not going to go as long today. I'm on, yeah, in your dreams. But then it's not my decision how long I go. I go until the one who sent me says it's time to do this. Now then. Well, first of all, did you get anything out of what we did here this morning now? I know, in case some of you are wondering why we ask you that, well, then most of us do. We'll come to the end of the search. Did you get anything out of it? Is an opportunity to respond and receive it. And it's important. Amen. It's very important. Yes, I receive it in the name of Jesus. And you activate it, see. Now then, how many of you are already partners? Can I see your hand? Praise the Lord. Well, you'll be interested in this. Year to date, inbound prayer calls. This is as of the last day of June, which was just a couple of days ago. Over the year, 342,950 calls into the prayer department, which is an average of 60,000 calls a month. And it's 24 hours a day. A lot of powerful results. Now, outbound calls. This is one of my dreams. I put my faith on this years ago, and it's still growing. Praise God. I have it in my heart for this ministry to actively call every partner we have on the telephone at least once a year. Praise God. Oh, the miracles that have come out of that. People got wrong numbers and got healed and got saved. I mean, it's just been... And one woman was talking real quiet. She said, "Would you pray for my husband?" And this was a wrong number. And she said, "Yeah, but..." And our prayer partner in there said, "Well, I don't believe in wrong numbers. Is there anything I could pray with you for?" "Yes, could you pray for my husband to be saved?" What?
Could you pray for my husband to be saved?
And in there you heard, who is it? She said, it's Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Who are they? She said, the one on TV. Oh, he said, would you see if they'll pray for my salvation? He said, I've been thinking about this and God got it on my mind. Would they pray for my salvation? They're hollering back and forth, room to room. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Well, of course, you know they did. We called here to date now, which is half of the year, 153,209 calls have gone out to partners, and we'll do over 350,000 calls this year. We keep upgrading the phone system, and let me tell you this, too. When you call in there, you call in that prayer line. You're not, we didn't farm this out to cause it to be so many calls and something like that. No, no, no. These people are actually in Fort Worth, Texas at Kenneth Copeland Ministry headquarters, and they are people that know how to pray. Amen. I'm not a con artist, not, and I don't ever intend to be one. Inbound service calls. That's when people call for some other reason. I need you to send me this. I want you to do that. 263,187 year to date. 44,000 of them a month. Praise God. Recorded prayers. April through June. Healing, salvation, freedom from fear, and God's master plan from you. I'm just like you. They put me on hold, and I hear some rinky-dink elevator music. I don't want to sit there and listen to that. I want to talk to a human. Well, the phones get loaded down, and I understand that. So they said, call me in there and said, would you put something on there when they go on hold? And I prayed about it. I said, yeah. And so I said, hey, this is Kenneth. You're talking to a machine. You understand that? Went through something like that. And I said, now I'm going to pray with you here until your prayer minister gets off the line in there and pick it up. Now, the only problem with it was, and it's funny, everybody around there laughs about it. They said, Brother Copeland wasn't through praying yet. Can you put me back over on hold? He gets through. Oh, man. We got such a big kick out of that. They say, yeah, hang on. And put him back on hold. Oh, listen, we got a fun ministry. All the time stuff like this happening. Praise God. And I'll tell you, we got a fabulous church. And Pastor George said, stand up, George. That's my son-in-law there, Pastor George. Praise God. 93,909 recorded prayers April through June. Amen. Hallelujah. And a lot of that had to do with, the different things that happened in the country, like fires and situations like that. And the way that happens, just so you know, so you can be praying with us and in agreement with us in this for the anointing of God, the Lord directed us to purchase a direct dialer where something, boy, something just hits, you know, and you get in there and you grab the scriptures of it and you pray over this thing and then put it on that dialer and it just automatically starts dialing partners. I mean, it just one right after another. You pick it up and the prayer's there and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. You know, but by doing that, you can pick up on it and begin to pray. You can pick up on it and begin to call people. You can take that same anointing and go with it, see. So when it goes out to you, then you multiply it by 10, 100, and 1,000, and hundreds of thousands then in just a little while. So we did that nearly almost 100,000 different
calls went up in that area. Now, I've got some things here that I want you to see. But this first one, well, you look at it, and then I'll talk to you about it. Hallelujah.
In the midst of sorrow and suffering, in the stench of poverty, in the grip of oppression, God has heard their cry, and He has sent His love through you and me, because He has plans to give them hope and a future. It was God who knit them together within the womb. He made them precious, perfect, and unique in design. They are no accident. Obeying the Lord's instruction in 2008, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has partnered with the El Mexicanito Orphanage near Mexico City, providing hope and much-needed support to orphaned, abandoned, and underprivileged children. Since then, the blessing in action prevails all throughout El Mexicanito that has saved many of these children from a life in the streets. Among the major accomplishments in 2008, more than 100 mattresses for the children, dozens of sets of bed clothing, renovation and expansion of the boys' bathrooms. A water purifying system to improve the water's drinking quality.
Gracias por el agua.
Christmas gifts and much more.
Dada.
2009 marked a breakthrough at a new level. The glory shines. KCM makes the decision to go for a complete overhaul and renovation of the orphanage. An extreme makeover. Phase one of the four-phase renovation project is almost completed, including demolition and setting up of new walls, renovation of all eight girls' dormitories, reconstruction of baths, new fixtures, hardware and lighting, new tiles, new sinks and floors, replacement of a hot and cold water system, replacement of ironworks for aluminum windows, replacement of beds, detailing the closet panels, replacing all wooden doors, tiling the staircase walls, painting all the areas, renovation and expansion of the children's dining room with installation of new stone beams and ceiling and porcelainado flooring, total renovation and relocation of the industrial kitchen for the children, including installation of electrical and water systems, office areas for management, social work, conference room, psychology, and therapy. All building exteriors, including waterproofing on the roofs, as well as installation of water tanks. Without a doubt, this is a clear picture of the blessing in action, working through you, our valued partners and friends.
Our most sincere thankfulness to Kenneth Copeland Ministries and partners for your commitment for the full renovation of this orphanage. May God bless you and reward you 100-fold. May God take care of you just as we are taking care of the children here. Thank you very much.
It is indeed heartwarming and encouraging to see the love of God through the El Mexicanito staff caring for the children.
Love is not something that we run out of. It doesn't come to an end. Love is to be shared. The more you give, the more you receive. That's precisely what these children who come here make me feel.
Very nice, because, above all, I'm not a mom or anything like that. But with them, I live motherhood 100%, because many times they see me as their mom, although I'm not.
God has heard their cry, and He has sent His love through you and me, because He has plans to give them hope and a future.
Hallelujah. Oh, now let me tell you. Let me tell you the good part. First of all, the sister that started this orphanage, very, very dear and close friends of ours and of our family, her dad was murdered. They had 10 children. The dad was murdered, and the mother now was out looking for a job. And just a few days later, the mother was killed in traffic. So here's 10 kids without any parents. This orphanage took them in and wouldn't let anybody split them up. And this dear sister that founded this in 1954, she was just a young woman, of course, back there then. But she stayed with it, and she ran this thing until just a couple of years ago. And they finally just forced her to retire. She was almost 100. Well, she taught these kids. And she taught the older ones how to raise the younger ones. And I'm telling you, some of the finest people that I've ever met in my life. And now some of these sisters, all of them in one way or another, are part of this ministry, and some of them still live in Mexico. One of those sisters in that family is now a very successful architect, and she's the one that did all the architectural work on this, and her brother is a very successful man in the construction business, and he came online, and he's helping us do all the work. I mean, the love standard and the word standard that dear old sister put in these kids, she finally got so old, she talked Bible in there every day. She got so old, she said, "I need a microphone, because they can't hear me." She thought all she needed was a microphone. She didn't need it. Knew it took speakers to go along. So that was the first thing we did. This was back before, of course, before she retired. We sent her a little small amplifier and her microphone and some speakers. Oh, she was so thrilled because the kids could hear her again. Well, she's nearly 100 years old. Well, she finally retired, and now the place is going on. But the woman that had been part of the financial person behind that, she passed away. Well, her children, her estate, they didn't care anything about it. Well, the place just started going down and going down. And boy, the Lord jerked me up one morning. First thing is to get those kids some mattresses. And then I found out most of them had parasites because of bad water. And just one thing right after another. Well, we got involved, and the Lord just kept saying, "Okay, now do this," and "Okay, now do that," "Okay, now do that." And we're up to $1.4 million now. And this project now will be completed inside that $1.4 million figure. But now let me tell you this. By renovating, and not just painting the walls, you know, new facility, new bathrooms, new pipes, new water system, everything. The sisters that now run this, we bought them sewing machines. They didn't want clothes, they wanted a machine. So they make their clothes, right? I was getting them the machine, you know. So we got them the machine, the material, and everything. And it wasn't a pedal sewing machine. She was so thrilled. You could just plug this thing in and whoa! She said, my, man. We bought clothes for those kids. It was hilarious, this whole operation. You saw the mattresses. That was just part of it. Anyway, by doing this and by putting in the counseling rooms and the place for a psychiatrist and psychologist, then we qualify as a adoption center. We can actually qualify the people. And those children now can actually be adopted. Those kids are beside themselves. Now they read the books on faith. They get Commander Kelly. They think Commander Kelly is just dying. So this one little boy walked up to Carlo, and he said, I don't know how old he is. He's just a little guy. He walked up to him and he said, "I will have a home before July." And he said, "Really?" "Yes." Yes. He's saying it. He picked up on it in faith. He said, I'll have a family and I'll have a home and I'll have it before July. I'll be leaving here before July. You see this big smile on his face. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that exciting? And already some of them are already out into lovely homes, and it's just a great thing. So any of you that want to get involved in it financially or any other way, well, of course, you're open to do so. But we're excited about it. We're having a lot of fun about this. It's just been great. Now then, another couple of things here I want you to see that... Hang on a second. All right. Oh, you guys see this. Glory to God. This is exciting.
Partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries are both witnesses and participants to one of the greatest miracles of this generation, the saving of a whole continent, Africa. For years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their many thousands of partners have been helping Reinhard Bonnke and Christ for All Nations. In 1975, Reinhard Bonnke preached to a crowd of 100 people in Botswana. Today, he is preaching to millions of people, bringing the message of God's love and salvation, and changing the lives of those who hear him.
The biggest crowd I've ever preached to was 1.6 million people. It's an ocean of humanity. I can't get used to it. It shakes me every time. When we counted the decision card at the end of that meeting, we had 1,093,000 first-time decisions for salvation. But when I stand in front of a crowd, even if they are less, I feel a sense of responsibility. I feel there are people who will never, ever again hear the gospel. And I have to present the ABC of the gospel of salvation in such clear terms that nobody one day will stand before the throne of God and say, Dear Lord, I would have loved to get saved, but I couldn't understand Bonnke's preaching. That dare not happen.
In 1984, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland met Reinhard Bonnke at a tent crusade in South Africa. Kenneth Copeland had a word from God that revealed a great move of the Holy Spirit that would bring millions to the knowledge of Christ.
I've never met them before. And then suddenly Kenneth began to prophesy. He prophesied that the wall in Berlin would fall. That was in 1984, 5 years before it happened. And he also prophesied that I would see how the Lord would save 1 million souls in one meeting. I couldn't imagine such figures. The biggest crowd I'd ever preached to by then was 50,000, you know. I mean, that was a huge step. I didn't start off big. I started below zero. That's where anyone can start. We have become wonderful friends, and the Copelands have helped me financially. I would say it was single-handedly to build up to what it has become today. And many, many times when we thought we couldn't pay the bills, we were right at the end, there came a check from the Copelands right here, from the U.S. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. And that is true until today. We have been side by side. I believe with all of my heart that the Copelands and their precious, precious partners have the lion's share of all those souls saved through our ministry one day when we stand before the throne of God.
For over 22 years, Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Christ for All Nations have partnered together.
In those early years when I met Kenneth, he said to me, my ministry is more directed towards the believers. Your ministry is directed towards the sinners. But he said, I want sinners to be saved as well. So that's why he put, what shall I say, he made an investment in the soul-winning ministry and will have a mighty reward. I don't think I would sit here today and tell of these huge harvests if the Copelands and their dear partners would not have stood with me in my small days.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Christ for All Nations and the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke have seen over 60 million souls saved, and the partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries have been a part of it.
If you have hundreds of thousands of people in front of you, everyone being different, yet the Holy Spirit finds everyone. We are made for God. We are made for the gospel. And these people, all being different, all find salvation and room in the wonderful arms of Jesus.
Hallelujah. My, my, my. You know, when you study partnership, when David was pressed into service, he and his men came back to their home base, and they found out that they had been raided. All their families were gone. All their quartermaster was gone. Everything they owned was gone. So all they had to take what they had left in the way of quartermaster or food. Their quartermaster back in those days, of course, they didn't have trucks and stuff. They had the beef. They had to herd it. I mean, whatever it was, they had to take it with them. And they wept until they couldn't cry anymore. Now, you have to remember, David knew how to function in the blessing of Abraham. He called for it. He covenanted with God in it. And then he stood on his covenant rights. That's the way he defeated Goliath. Remember, Gloria was talking about this in here the other morning. He knew who he was. And so when he shouted at Goliath, he said, he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. In other words, you hadn't got a covenant. You ain't no different than the lion and a bear. I kill them, I'll kill you. I'll take your head off your shoulders and feed it to the birds there. I mean, well, all is he's speaking by faith. He'd learned to do that. Well, when they got there, they were under forced march for hours to catch up with these guys. The Holy Ghost revealed to them where they were in more ways than one. And they ran them down, and they caught them encamped on the other side of a river. They had been under forced march, and they had some of their people that by this time were not physically able to make that river. Well, he said, you stay here, you watch out after the animals, what we've got left here. You take care of it. You guard it. You watch over it. You take care of the rear ranks. We're going on across. They did, and you know what happened. They cleaned house, brother. They got it all back, every bit of it, and then some. Now, when they began to divide this up, there were men with David that were Gentiles. They said, we ain't giving any of our spoil to that bunch that stayed back here on the other side of the river in safety while we went up and faced all of the warriors over there. Our lives were on the line. We're not sharing any of our stuff with them. Well, now, ain't that the way the world thinks? A lot of church people think that way. But that's genetically altered Bible. Well, what happened? David said, not so, my brethren. And the Bible calls those people wicked people. The word wicked, we get our word wicker from it. It's twisted thinking. He said, not so. Those that stayed behind. Now, were they in perfect safety? No, who said they were? You don't know what's over there in those woods.
Just because they didn't have strength enough to get across that river doesn't mean that they didn't, that they just laid over there and slept the whole time. They were in charge of what they had left. I mean, if somebody storms in there and takes what they've got, that's all the food they had at that time. Everything. The entire quartermaster corps was left on the other side of that river. So it wasn't like they didn't have a job. It wasn't like the Spirit of God wasn't operating in them same as it was over there with them. But David said, no. The only reason we won this thing is because God gave us the victory. God blessed us and He helped us pursue. He helped us catch. He helped us across the river and He gave them into our hands. So, He said, we will split this alike. Those that went into combat and those that stood guard on the back side of the river. And He said it was introduced as an ordinance of God. Now, that's partnership. That's partnership. You didn't go to Africa. You weren't seated there with Reinhardt and Annie Bonk in that little old bitty room behind that tent back there when the anointing of God came and all these things. Oh, yes, you were. How do you think we got over there? I didn't work for 2 weeks trying to get enough money to buy an airline ticket to go to South Africa. Where do you think my clothes come from? Oh, I thought it came from your faith. It does. God is the source. There's not many sources. There's one source. You heard that last night, Brother Seville. Now I'm telling you what, now that thing kept me up a while last night. He said it wouldn't, it did. And I got thinking about the God who is the source of all mercies, all grace. Ooh, I got excited. Praise the Lord. But now, think about it. He has many channels, one source, many hands, much faith, many people. I tell you, you get us all together and we're something.
Amen.
You know what the Spirit of God called you and me to glory in me one day on one of our broadcasts? Biggest Holy Ghost gang in the world. That's who we are. And we're going right on to a million partners, too. Praise God. Well, I keep thinking you're going to quit and retire. Well, quit thinking. I ain't dead yet. Not about it. And if I was to quit today, I've got such a team, this thing would never back up, never back off. Every grandkid I've got's a preacher. Every child I have is a preacher. Praise God. Get them all together. They can have meeting after meeting after meeting. And they're doing it. They're doing it right now. Amen. There's Copeland kid meetings that are lined up, coming up here in the future. Not because I'm quitting. We're expanding. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a good thing. Now, I said all that to tell you this. The principle behind this is, and you're going to see it again on another clip here in just a second. But the principle behind this is, which is the most important? The person that preached the word? Or the one that bought the fuel that got you there, the one that bought the clothes that you wore when you preached it, the one that kept the records, the one that did it, huh? We're in this together. No, God's no respecter of persons. You get the same reward out of it I do. I preach it, you sent me. Amen. That's the way it works. You have won through Kenneth Copeland Ministries over 66 million souls into the kingdom of God over the last 42 years.
Yes.
You know, not to mention all the other stuff. I'm not saying this to brag on me, dear Lord. I can't brag on me. I proved what I could do before Jesus got the word in me. Nothing. I was a total, absolute failure going somewhere to happen. Only thing I had going for me was Mama was praying. And then I met Gloria, and things started looking up. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want you to, don't just take this in a partner service. Take it to heart. Begin to be grateful to God, because when you get to heaven, there's at least 66 million souls by your name. Hallelujah. There's somebody, there's some partner in this room that invested money for some of you other partners to get into this kind of life and ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. God's reward system is vast and it's huge. Amen. Now, I want you to see this. I got something I want to say to you if we get through this. You'll like this. Hey, partner, you ought to come go with us. We're on our way to Australia. We're going to have a whole series of meetings over there, and it's going to be a marvelous time. You're the best partners that any ministry ever had. Gloria loves you, and I love you, and we bless you and remind you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministry Australian office opened their doors 30 years ago. May of 2009, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland traveled around the world to once again bring the message of love and faith to the people of Australia.
This is a dream come true. Truly the Lord grants the desires of our hearts. And we are so delighted to have them in Sydney.
Their ministry has been such a blessing to us, and we know it can be such a blessing to Australia.
By the anointing of Jesus, which is right there on the inside of you, all you'll ever need, all you could ever see any way to use, there is enough power on the inside of you to bless not only Australia, but the rest of the world.
He doesn't just teach about heaven and the future. He teaches about now and how to live the Christian life.
Revelations, to receive revelations. It's exciting.
The teaching has been really tremendous, and we've learned a lot. Some of the things we've heard before, but it's been so good for us just to get that into us and just get that into our spirits again, get it fresh.
He has power, marvelous, supernatural ability to bless you, to heal you, to prosper you. He's your Father. You can trust Him. He has integrity. He tells you in the Word, word for word, what He'll do. And if you'll say, I believe that Word, you'll do exactly as you say, Lord, and I'm rolling the care of this thing over on you, or whatever it is you need to do at that point, the answer will come.
This is the time to be alive. This is the time to be in the blessing. This is the time to walk by faith. Oh, this is the time of great miracles and great manifestations from heaven.
Kenneth and Gloria were able to conduct KCM victory campaigns in Brisbane and Sydney. In addition to ministering to partners and friends at these meetings, they were able to minister at the Australian International Convention of Faith Ministries. Kenneth was also able to teach at Hillsong Church on the blessing of God.
Abraham's faith activates Abraham's blessing. And Abraham's blessing is yours, and so is the faith. Hallelujah.
Many of the churches in Australia needed to hear the faith message, needed to know that we've got to put our trust and our faith in our Lord and Savior, that He is our source and our supply.
Gloria Copeland conducted healing school at both the victory campaigns while in Australia. Healing school is always concluded with a powerful healing service.
Thank you that we're healed. We're healed. We're healed.
After the healing, I could raise my arms.
Hallelujah.
I have no pain.
Hallelujah.
I am healed completely.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
The lives of people around the world are being changed because of the partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
God, we landed in the Marshall Islands, for fuel, and this young man sent word out to the airplane. Tell Brother Copeland, one of his partners said hello. I'd come out and see him, but I've got a tend to my job over here. There's an airliner that's come in, and I have to go over there and see to that. But would you tell him that we're praying for him on his trip to Australia? Amen. The island of Marjoro in the middle of the South Pacific. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we went on over and landed at Henderson Field, Guadalcanal. Oh, what wonderful times and good things. And you're going to like this now. We took delivery of the Citation 10, 3-23-06, almost the end of March. It's just right there at the last, tail end month of March. And up and through 6-25-09. We have flown that airplane in that length of time now in the service of this ministry. 352,469 miles preaching the gospel. It has been to Australia, Canada, Costa Rica. It's been to England, Fiji, Ghana, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Marshall Islands, Mexico, Nigeria, Portugal, Russia, Solomon Islands, South Africa, Spain, Switzerland, Ukraine, and of course, the United States. Praise the Lord. Now, that isn't all. There was another smaller, this Citation 10, there was a Citation 2 Bravo that was sewn into the ministry later, and let's see, I don't have the date we took delivery of it, but it's considerably later than this. And the church, Eagle Mountain International, and our ministry, there's some times that it's just a short trip out and back. Well, we go in that smaller airplane. And we've flown that airplane 91,538 miles since we've had it, for a grand total of 444,000 miles. Praise God. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is so that you understand, these are not luxuries. How would you like to try to do that on the airlines? Yeah, I'd still be on there.
That's right.
Not to mention the fact they don't go anywhere. Right here in the United States, the airlines service, the airports that they actually service here in the United States. Take a guess. How many of you guess? The whole United States. Huh? You're real close. Right at 400. Used to be 500, but they started going broke, so they've... 400 airports. You know how many airports in this country available to this Citation 10, all weather, all pavement, fine airports? 18,000. That's the difference. And you take your luggage with you.
Yeah.
You get to have your clothes. So you see why we couldn't have gone anywhere near close to this. We know now this, and this was back when I was flying for Brother Roberts. I learned how to use an airplane in the ministry flying for him. And back there then, 1967, we would have had to have cut out 35% of what he was doing to send him on the airline. Not to mention the people that you'd had scattered out all over. But now, our schedule, we would have to cut out 90-some percent of it. It's not a luxury. It is a preaching machine, I tell you. The fastest that I've seen on it yet. Now, this included a very nice tailwind, you understand. And I took pictures of the
back in the cabin, we've got what they call the air show. And it's a little thing on the screen back there shows you how fast you're going over your ground speed, altitude, and so forth. And I knew from what I was seeing up here in the cockpit, because I'm reading nautical miles an hour. And I saw they're reading statute miles an hour back there, which is going to make it look even faster, you know. And I went back there and took a picture of the little air show screen, and we were doing 750-something, bumping real close to 800 miles an hour across the ground. How are you breaking the speed of sound? No, that's ground speed. The speed of sound is true airspeed. But we had a nice 100-plus mile-an-hour tailwind on the back end of that smoker, brother. I mean, we were hauling it across there. It's just fun. But we outrun everybody anyway, even when there's not any wind. We were going in the other night, and the controller said, turn right 15 degrees. We turned right 15 degrees. Turn back this, and they paralleled us on the terminal arrival route where all the other traffic was over here, and they bumped us out here and made us parallel it. And the controller said, I'm sorry to get you over there a little off course, but he said I had to do something with this fighter jet speed you guys fly. One of them called and said, this was a controller here in Long Beach. Not this trip, but last year, said, do you guys fly this fast all the time? We said, yes. Yes. Well, all the time. We sit there, ask us what our speed is. Come on, ask us what our speed is. We just bump right up our speed of sound all the time. 9192. Amen. And you and Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's exactly the truth. Now then, oh, yeah, let's see here. That was this one, and this is, oh, you got to see this, because I want you to join your faith with it. You did it, but you needed to know it. Okay, you got to see this. And I'll wind this up in a minute. You ain't going anywhere.
On June 18th, 2009, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, along with their faithful partner, sewed a Cessna 421 airplane into the ministry of Dean Sykes. Since 1993, Dean has brought the message of hope to the youth around the world.
We minister this airplane now, Dean and Lori, to you. If you all would come around and get your hands on the airplane, everybody lay hands on it someplace. We minister this airplane to you and Lori as a servant of the Lord to serve you, to take care of you, to watch over you, and to become a sanctuary of the Lord. It is a place you can go where there's nobody there to interfere with you and Jesus and Lori and your family doing what God calls you to do. And that's what these things are for. And so we minister it into your life in the name of Jesus. And we receive.
Yes.
We receive overflow.
Yes.
Amen. So let's put our hands on this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we sow all of the work, all of the parts to completely and totally rebuild this airplane from nose to tail, wingtip to wingtip, top and bottom, and we plead the blood over it. And we sow it all into Dean and Lori's life and ministry in the name of Jesus.
When you encounter love at its most basic level, because love is action, this is love. This is the culmination of people coming together with a light vision to help us have the airplane God created for us to have. And we're just, you know, beyond. I speak all the time. I don't really have the words for what's in my heart this morning.
Every partner, there's not one partner that's better than the other. It's a team. And it's a team that plays the game right. And I absolutely believe in all of them.
You know, to the partners, I would simply say, thanks for being faithful. you know, because you participate in this. And I believe that every partner that sows into this ministry, it's hundredfold return ground. And I would encourage them, just keep sowing, keep believing, keep confessing, and keep receiving.
I say this to our partners. Your determination to obey God, which is more important, the person that did the preaching or the person that paid for the fuel, the person that paid for the airplane, the person that paid for the clothes we wear, the reason that God has anointed you and anointed me is the same reason. There's no two different anointings here. One for a preacher and one for a partner. No, it's the same anointing across the board. And the longer I do this, the more I'm convinced that this was God's super plan to distribute His burden-removing, yoke-destroying power, His anointing, throughout the body of Christ. That as He calls those to go preach it, He calls others to get along beside, stand with, and go and do those things of prayer and so forth. Because one put 1,000 flight, two put 10,000 flight. And that's heavenly multiplication. You can't do that in the natural. 1 equals 1,000, 2 equals 10,000. No, that's earthly man mathematics. Don't work, but heavenly mathematics, that works. Why? Because where two gathered together, there's God in the midst. So it wasn't actually just two. It was three. And He makes up the difference to the 10,000. This is just the way it works. So I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to receive. Whatever your dreams are, don't give up on them. It doesn't have anything to do with the economy around us or what the government does or doesn't do. And I don't care what country on this earth you live in. God's not bound to them. Unless you allow yourself to be bound by them. Amen? Amen. Father, we pray for all of our partners. Because it's through them, their determination and faith, their faithfulness to You, Lord, that this ministry was able to sow this into Dean and Lori Sykes' ministry, the winning of souls and thousands of young people that have come into the kingdom of God through their ministry. And we give You the praise and the honor now as You overflow and bless our partners throughout this world. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Kenneth Copeland, partners and friends.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me give you a scripture on this. The Apostle Paul told the church there at Philippi, he said, "You're partakers of My grace."
That's right.
"In My bonds." Now that was big to that church. That may not sound too big in your mind, but you have to understand that that church, the first members of that church were the convicts in the jail there when the power of God shook that jail and jerked those doors open. They became the first members of that church at Philippi, and that jailer was the pastor. And he said, "You're partakers of My anointing, My grace, in My bonds." Whoa, they saw what happened to him when he started praising God. An earthquake hit that jail and tore all the doors off the cells. That is big with them. And then he said, "In the defense of the gospel." In other words, testifying and preaching. The anointing to teach, the anointing to preach and testify and win souls when they don't want to hear it. Amen. In those times when you think, "Boy, I wish I could figure out what to say." Don't stand there and try to figure out what to say. Believe for the anointing that's on glory in me. We're joined in this thing, joined together. And he said, "Then in the confirmation of the gospel." That's signs and wonders. Confirmation of the gospel. Now, here's the big one. I tell you, when this hit me one day, Tracy, this hit me about 2 years ago.
And I mean, it put a run in my feet. I couldn't stand still. And I don't know how many times I've read this, but here was a thing like Brother Moore was talking about. Suddenly God opened my eyes and I could see it, man. Here's this whole book of Philippians. He's talking to those people about being his partners. Even they're the only church that supported him after he left town. He said they were. Now, he got down there in that fourth chapter. He could have said, God will meet your needs according to his riches and glory. He could have said, your God will meet your needs according to his riches and glory. But you know what he said? My God shall meet your needs. In other words, your needs are going to be met on the apostles' level, not just a believer level, or not just a farmer's level, or not just anybody else's level. I mean, this is the apostles' anointing is going to meet your needs. Why? Because you joined in here and you were connected together. Well, you can't. There ain't going to no anointing come on me, don't come on you. But you need to be receiving it. Here's another one. I tell you, that Dean and Lori Sykes, I mean, they can stand out on a street corner and get 100 kids saved. Beats all I have ever seen. They just, he's a good preacher. He'll stand up there and preach, kind of like Jesse. He gives an invitation, they just come out of the woodwork, man. Jesse can stand up there and, and give an invitation. Dear Lord, that's the reason anywhere on time he's around, I don't give the invitation. I get him up there and get it. Because that is that evangelist anointing, and I mean, it just draws people to Jesus. Well, you got an airplane sewn into that. Stir yourself up. You got airplanes going in every direction. You got a church airplane going. You got the kids airplane going. You got the tin going.
Yay.
The only thing I know any better than that's believe for your own airplane. Get it going your own self. Praise God. Well, why not? Who said you couldn't? You got time for one more clip?
Yeah.
One of my dreams and passions has come to pass. And there's a movie coming out in December, and the world premiere is about mid-December, and it's going into the theaters during the Christmas holidays. Now, let me tell you something about this thing. This is not entertainment. It is entertaining. It's not just a little weak-sistered Christian movie. I'm going to make a movie. I'm not going to mess around with tea and sympathy. Now, we're going to the street. We're going to the street. Amen. So, at the end of this, you're going to get to see the preview, the coming attractions, the trailer. But I want you to know that, because this is not in the trailer. But you need to know this. This thing is engineered in a way so that once this thing is over with, you need to be in that theater. Not just to watch the movie. But there's going to be people. When a fireproof showed, there were people almost unanimously across the country. There'd be somebody stand up. Somebody in here could pray for me. Well, you wait till this thing goes on. Man, the last scene in it, we did the script, but it left the script real quick. The young man that played, the character that I played, his son, he needed to come to the Lord. And we went through the scene, and it was really anointed, where this young man accepted Jesus and was delivered and so forth. Well, here's an opportunity to give an invitation yourself if it's in your church or this reason that this movie was made. Well, The anointing of God came on this thing. And I began to minister to him. And it's all on film. And it went out beyond the script. And I just flowed with it. And this young man that played this, my character's son, that man, I'm telling you, you talk about an anointed young man of God, and the power of God. He was just flowing with it. I mean, the Lord allowed these characters to come alive. I don't ever pray that I become that character. No. That's the world's way of doing it. That'll get you into some kind of trouble. You open yourself up for all kinds of familiar spirits and everything else. But what I do pray is that in the hands of the Spirit of God, I can portray this character and the parable in which he is presented that will present the truth in a powerful, powerful way. That's the way it needs to be prayed. Well, that's what happened. Man alive. God took that thing over. And I started saying things that were not on the script. And he's responding to them. Wow. Oh, it was really. We got through. I looked at him. He looked at me and he said, "Oh, Jesus." I mean, and everybody was just kind of stunned. That, oh, Rick Raina produced and directed it, and he closed that thing. I looked over there at Rick, and he's just standing there. And the young man on the camera, he just standing there. The room was just full of the anointing and the power of God. Nobody knew whether to get up and leave or what. It was just, what a moment. I mean, Hollywood lives for those kind of moments. And they don't, they very rarely ever get them. But more of that is coming.
Amen.
God, all things were created for and by him. Yeah. The devil never created or invented the motion picture screen. Do you know who invented the movie? Thomas Edison. And he did it praying. That never was supposed to be a demon instrument. And it's not anymore. Yeah. Well, would you like to see the preview? You want me to shut up where you see the preview? Okay, watch this.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Miguelito, it's me. I need you to come to the house. Come quickly, please. My whole life has been this family. We work hard. Her name has respect. We say, people do. I'm going away. I'm leaving. This kind of life, and I've got to go now. What I was is all pass away. Controlling people. That's not who I am anymore. A change is coming.
When gangsters pull out their pistols, I'm like Moni trying to get in the middle and fiddle. The difference is too many rappers are tripping, don't nobody wanna listen. Plus I'm tired of all the cussing and cursing, so I started rehearsing, working on converting a better person. But every person that's hurting, looking, searching for lies. Suicidal and worthless, but you ain't certain. If you're ready to die, leave this earth surface and cross over and see what's on the other side of the drive curtain.
There's something over this shit.
big dark cloud hanging over the people. You know, eventually that darkness, it consumes them. It wraps them up.
That's why this rally is so important. Growing up, everybody told me that I would not amount to anything. But you know what? One day, I heard God tell me something different. And that's when I began to see the things in a different way.
Well, we've got to show them something different. Hey, I need you to do something for me. I need you to pull the trigger on someone. I'm the magnet pulling these Asiatic
and Hispanic bandits and make them put down the cannon. Take the shot. It's not that hard.
My father! You gave me your son! I give you mine. He prophesied, ready to die. 50 took five and got rich and my mama still crying. Two all the players popping off at the lip. Running the street game like you a pimp. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All of you that are already partners, if you will, stand. I'm going to bless you. Praise God. All of you that believe God is calling you to become partners with this ministry, if you would please stand. I'm going to receive you and bless you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Oh, Father, thank you. I praise you and thank you and worship you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I bless you. I bless you coming in. I bless you going out. I bless you in the field. I bless you in the city. I bless your finances. I bless you spirit, soul, and body. And I bless this nation in which we live. I bless the nation from which you live and where you come from. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I receive all of the partners into this ministry that you are calling to become partners with us. I pray for them, Father. And all of them, Father, that have family outside the kingdom of God, all of my partners, any of them that have family outside the kingdom, I'm asking you to just cause them just to come rushing into the kingdom of God. Send laborers across their path with the word of their salvation. Oh, Lord, we thank you for it. We give you praise and we honor you. And we glorify your name for it. Father, any of my partners that work for someone else, I'm asking you to bless them. I'm asking you to bless their job and bless their hands and bless their minds. Give them the best ideas, praise God, the best promotions in that company to the point where they'd rather lay off anybody there except them. Pull them right up to the top of the line and to where they own the company, if that be your will. You can prosper that company right here in the middle of this recession. Well, I praise God, that recession don't belong to us. The blessing of the Lord belongs to us. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he had no sorrow with it, praise God. And Father, all of my partners that have their own businesses, I'm asking you to bless that business. Why, it doesn't make any difference what kind of plan the government comes up with. It doesn't make any difference of what the politicians say. They've all got a plan. They've all got some kind of idea. They've all got this some kind of deal. They've all got some kind of voice, some kind of plan, some kind of idea for our future insecurity. Well, what do they have to do with our security? What do they have to do with our future? We've already got our stimulus package. Praise God. It's partnership. It's the blessing of the kingdom of God. No, praise God. We keep our eye on you, Lord Jesus. Your word will guide us and you will perform it. Amen. We walk in love, and love never fails. Neither does your plan, Lord. Amen. The blessing is the place to be. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name.
and all of our partners, Lord, that are in the ministry. I'm asking you to cause their ministries to grow, send them partners from around I'm raising up partners from them as well as you. And they'll come from around the world. They'll come from the four corners of the earth, the north, south, east, and west. They'll come, and I'll bless them, and I'll increase them and add them to you. And I'll increase you long-time partners far greater than you've ever seen before. For this is my time, saith the Lord, by supernatural multiplication and a divine release from heaven through the earth to you. So receive it and rejoice, for the time is now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. And Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving for it. We thank you. We thank you and all of my partners, Lord, that are behind prison walls. Over 25% of our partner base started out in prison and are in prison now and remain partners even after they get out and they start churches and they start ministries and they start businesses. Praise God. And they became partners while they were in prison. My, 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 my. For the love of God opens prison doors. Thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise and honor for it. For promotion comes from on high. Glory be to God. And Father, we receive equipment for them. We receive whatever they need. We receive it. Oh, yes, divine plans. No, 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 not some jacked up thing the government's got. No, 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 the divine answer to health insurance. The divine answer is health itself, not just the insurance of it. But you will help them. You will help my partners. You will help them. You will help them as business owners. You will help them with divine plans. You will help them with divine ideas. You will help them with blessing from on high. You will help them, praise God. And there's got one, but and it'll be like days of old. And the government will come to your business and say, "We don't understand this. What's the matter? How come you didn't do that? How come you don't need it? How come?" You didn't go down when all the rest of them did. And you can just smile and say, "Well, I'm blessed, and my God meets my needs according to His riches in glory." And if you would like to hear more about it, you can have it, because this nation is the God of the Blessed One's nation. God, the Blessed One, is God over this nation. No, we are not a Muslim nation. No, we are not. We are a Jesus Christ ordained nation of God Almighty's people. And we bless our Jewish brethren, glory to God. And we bring every blessing on them here in this country and in the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. We bless them. And any Muslim, and anybody else that has a desire to get out of a religion by the sword and get into the love of Almighty God, we'll help you get there, my brother and sister. We'll help you pray. We'll help you. We'll help you. But bless God, I'll tell you right now, you're not going to take this country away from Jesus. No, sir. No, sir, it's not going to happen. We're here to stay. Until Jesus gets done with us, we're here to stay. Praise God. We're here to bless. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to preach and teach and heal and raise the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care what religion you got over your door. And neither does God. But Jesus ain't no local boy.
He spans across all the religions and all the national borders. Praise God. Amen. He is. He is the way and the truth and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good news. That's good news. Remember the man from Australia, and it said underneath there he's owner. He was talking about Hillsong, and he's the owner of all the Gloria Jean coffee houses in the world. He was a radical Muslim, and he got saved in a believers' convention right here on the west coast of the United States. And he is a very radical Christian, I'll tell you right now. He's on our board of trustees in Australia. Hallelujah. What a man of faith. And the loveliest, one most wonderful men you've ever met in all your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And I found out from him, he was hungry for God. He just didn't know who God was. This sister called him and said, there's a meeting I want you to go to. He said, okay. And he came. And Jesus. Once you've seen Jesus, ain't none of the rest of it is worth anything. He just fell head over heels in love with Jesus and then with Gloria and then with me and then with you. And then here we went, praise the Lord. We've been together for years and years and years. Amen. That's happening all over the world. That's the reason the Osama bin Ladens are so shook up. And I repeat his words. Islam is failing. Christianity is not. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Father, we receive all the equipment that all of my partners need. Their businesses, their jobs, ideas, witty inventions. All the equipment in the church buildings that my ministry partners need. All the churches and all that's necessary to get this done. Oh, God, we release our faith for them in Jesus' name. Now, I got something I want you to release your faith with me on. See those speakers up there? And these over there, they belong to Kenneth Copeland Ministry. And I was sitting over here the other night, and I heard something up there I didn't like. And I went backstage, and I asked Brother Barry Tubbs, I said, what's wrong with that? I'm hearing some bad stuff out of one of those speakers up there. What is that? He said, it's 21 years of hard use. That's what it is. 21 years ago, that was state of the art. Well, it isn't anymore. And I sat around to that and I said, no. Listen, if anybody ought to have the best speakers on earth, it's Jesus. Praise God. Amen. So I just set my faith on the line and sowed seed for it in the name of Jesus. We're going to have that. Praise God, that's mine. I spoke to it in Jesus' name, told it to get itself in here. Ministering spirits, you go get our sound equipment. The best in the world. The best there is. No, God didn't create the best there is for rock and roll. This stuff's to preach the gospel with. The best cameras. We're finishing out our high definition digital. I didn't get into that because I was in love with high definition. I started believing God for that equipment because Jesus Christ of Nazareth ought to have the best there is. There's not anything good enough for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. That big old brand new white Peterbilt sitting right out there behind the stage here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. And now it's time for that
remote truck that it pulls. And we got the truck. We got the new trailer just about finished. But now comes the cameras and the equipment that's got to go in there. My faith is on the line, and there's cameras out there hunting me right now. Yeah. Amen. About $7 million worth of them. My brother, Copeland, there's cheaper cameras than that? Well, I'm sure there are. So let the devil have them. I ain't going to start backing up now. Fly a Citation 10 into somewhere and then take up some old rinky-dink camera. You got to be kidding me, man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just got plumb excited about this, man. I'm telling you. If you don't believe this, you just hide and watch. Because all these things are coming, and they're coming quickly. And if you'll give God the opportunity, He'll outfit your house. He'll outfit your home. He'll outfit your driveway. He'll outfit everything you have. When you put Him first, glory be to God. Ooh, man, something happening in here. You know it? Hallelujah. I learned this 40 years ago. And when you take the Word of God and you put it in there, it becomes the seed down in your spirit. And you begin to know it. And then you begin to see it. And then you begin to believe it. And then you begin to speak it. And then you're speaking it. And you're feeding it. And you're walking in it. And you're sowing. And you're looking. And you're giving thanks. I know I did get to finish today over there in the book of Philippians. But it says, don't be anxious, upset over anything, but through prayer and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Continue to make your wants known to God. Hallelujah. Not begging, not praying it over again. Giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks. I realized back there 40 years ago that when you do that, your spirit gets pregnant with that. And you begin to believe it. And you begin to walk in it. And you begin to see it. And it doesn't look like much for a while. But then after a while, man, you get stirred up on the inside. And you begin to realize, I'm about to give birth to this thing in the spirit. Praise God. This is about to come to pass. And I'm telling you, there's stuff coming to pass on the inside of me this morning. Hallelujah. Get in here with me. Get in here with me. Get yourself stirred up. Get yourself stirred. Stir yourself up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up by thanksgiving. No, it ain't my ministry to stir you up. It's not the Holy Ghost ministry to stir you up. The Scripture says, stir yourself up. Well, you don't wait till you feel stirred. You just say, no, bless God, I'm stirred. Hallelujah. I stir myself. I am stirred by faith. You keep that up for 3 or 4 or 5 days, and ain't nobody able to keep up with you. You start giving birth to faith. Souls into the kingdom of God. Healings and deliverances. Then you get into the little stuff like $1 million, $2 million, and all that. That's little stuff. Low-level stuff. Boy, the big stuff is in the kingdom of God. The big stuff is when you sow $30 million into a ministry that's won 60 million souls into the kingdom of God. and you sow into a little black kid over in Georgia. Named Creflo Dollar. You sow the word into him. You shake him up. Slap him around a little bit. You don't have to slap Creflo much. No. All you got to do is just turn him and point him and turn him on. Amen. And he just danced off out there and went about $40 million in his own ministry. $50 million. $60 million. And you're right smack in the middle of it all. I saw Jerry Savelle downtown Omaha, Nebraska. The guy had a hard seizure right in the middle of the street. People jumped back. Call an ambulance. Get some of the guys that's going all over the place. Jerry walked up to him and got down there on him and grabbed him by the hair of the head and yanked. And the guy's just flopping all over. I mean, man, he looked like two dead fish and a chicken with no head. He's just going in every direction. He grabbed him by the hair and jerked him up there and shouted, "In the name of Jesus, you come out of him now." He looked up at Jerry. Eyes this big. Boy, when he shouted the name of Jesus, boy, man, the people just scattered. They gave Jerry all the room he needed, brother. Ambulance drove up. Jerry had just enough time to get him born again. They put him in the back of that ambulance, and the guy had his face up to the window. And of course, you couldn't hear him, but he's going, "Jesus." Jerry said, and now there's millions of Jerry Savelles out there. And there's millions of Creflo Dollars. And there's just millions of them all over the earth. We are an army of faith people and love people. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we praise you. I must do this, and then I'll close and let you go. But I'm required to do this in every partner service. I prayed this years and years ago, Gloria, and I took communion and got before the Lord. Number one, we would never ask anybody for a place to preach. We would go where God told us to preach. Number two, we would never preach anywhere based on a financial arrangement. And number three, we would never ask anybody for money to meet our needs. In 42 years, Gloria and I have never received an offering for our personal needs. No, no, I'm not going to. Don't need to. Praise God. No, we sow. And we started out when we didn't have anything, so I said maybe a button off my shirt or something. But God's faithful to His Word. And then a few months later, we added the fourth one, which we would never, ever borrow again. Well, you've heard all the stories. God had to teach us how to do that. And we've held to that. And God's helped us and trained us and taught us. And man, we didn't know anything. Don't know a whole lot yet, but we know that. Amen. We're learning. I'm learning more today than I ever did in my life. And then we went before the Lord and we gave him our solemn oath before him. That we'd keep this ministry pure. Father, I pray this out loud today. I commit this in the presence of my partners here today. We commit to you again to keep this ministry pure. to keep it pure on the Word and never, ever compromise it. We don't change the Word to fit our style or what we want to do. We change our style. We change everything to fit your Word. Your Word's final authority in our lives. Number two, we'll keep this ministry pure financially. Keep it out of debt, integrity. In the name of Jesus. And number three, we'll keep it clean and pure sexually. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for it. We bless you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, also, we committed years and years ago, and I gave you my word that I would never mistreat my partners, and that I would never give anybody on earth their names, their addresses, what they sow into this ministry, or any other kind of information is totally 100% confidential, and I will not do it under any circumstance. No government official can make me do it. No court can make me do it. No, sir, I will not do it. In Jesus' name. And I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord thanksgiving and praise. You may be seated. We'll receive our morning offering. And hallelujah. God may not be calling you to become a partner with this ministry, and that's fine. But He's calling you to be a partner with somebody that's in the field. So you pray and find out with whom you are connected and then make that connection by faith. Now, you're still a part of this convention and what it's doing. So pray and ask the Lord what He'd have you sow into this convention. If you're becoming a partner this morning, we'll make it known on that envelope. What you do financially, that's between you and the Lord. Most people support this ministry as partners on a monthly basis, but that's not a requirement. And you will never, ever get a letter from me asking you to meet my needs. Never. You will get a letter from me every month, and I'll be doing my very best from the Word to help you get your needs met. That's my job, and that's what I'm here to do. And together we're going to get this thing done. Praise God. The heading on this letter that I was teaching you from today, I heard the Lord say it. It's an old country song, but I heard the Lord say it. I sat down there to write that letter. He said, "Boy, you got a long way to go and a short time to get there. You get them partners stirred up right now." I said, "No, Lord, you stir them up. They're supposed to stir themselves up." He said, "You stir yourself up. They'll get stirred." So that's what I put on the top of the letter. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Why? Jesus is coming. Yes, He's coming right away too. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ushers, after you pass out your envelopes, well, go ahead and receive the offering. Brother Lynn, would you come? And you can pray.